Hi there, and welcome to this first Lion Art Herbs teleconference. Welcome. I was just talking to myself for 4 minutes, waiting for you guys to tell me that you could hear me. So apologies for that. Welcome to the first Lion Art Herbs Q&A session. Group coaching call, in fact, if you need me to coach you on anything. So welcome. My name is Elwyn Robinson. I am the founder of Lion Art Herbs. Almost 3 years ago now, in fact, I kind of created the blends even longer ago than that. My time flies. And I'm here today to help you with everything that you may need to know in the area of health, nutrition, herbalism, supplements, energy, one of my specialties. Just to let you know, of course, I can't answer any questions which are medical in nature, both legally and morally as well. Because it's just not my area. I feel like doctors are, you know, the reason it takes 8 years training before they even practice anything is because, you know, there are so many ways that the body can go wrong. And the ways that the body can go wrong is not really my specialty, although I certainly know a couple. It's how to make the body go right. That's really more my focus. So if someone could please go to the chat box, I can see we've really got loads of questions and I appreciate them and I'm certainly going to answer all those as concisely as possible. If someone could just go there now and say, hey, Elwyn, I can actually hear you this time, that would be really reassuring for me to make sure that I'm not talking to myself anymore. Let's see, everything should be working. You're all unholded, I'm unmuted. But if someone could confirm they could hear me, that would be absolutely awesome. And then we can progress straight away. So if you just go into the chat box and just type I can hear you or something like that, that would be amazing. And then I know that you're there. In fact, I can see we've got a caller there. The caller could press star 2 maybe to let me know that you can actually hear me. That would be awesome. Okay, awesome. Right, thank you. That would have been easier. Wonderful. Okay, let's begin. Before we go into actually one of the most common someone answered there, Georgia, thank you very much, and Hadil, thank you. One of the most common questions asked is, well, what do you actually take from Lionheart Herbs, Owen? And that's a funny question because it's actually like easier than ever before because we're currently doing it ourselves, fulfillment. Well, technically my lovely wife is doing it and I hope she's doing a great job. So it's I literally got the whole Lionheart Herbs shop upstairs in a couple of different rooms dedicated to it. And so it's been easier than ever to have access to all that stuff. I know. When I first started this, I would have been so jealous of me right now, a whole health-based shop in my house. But that won't be the case for long. So I just thought I'd go through with you what are the things that I take, very briefly. Now, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the right thing for you. But if I just tell you what I take and why, that maybe gives you some idea of a basic starter package for someone who, you know, doesn't have any particular issues, but just wants to know that they are covered and that they're optimizing their health. So in the realm of herbs, to be honest, I played a lot with the single herbs for a long time. And I still use the single herbs a lot in cooking or preparing food. So when I say single herbs, I mean any of the herbs that whether just one per bag, right? So I quite often still use shaga. I use white tetraculodes, goji berry, astragalus, codonopsis. And I often add them to food. I add them to smoothies. I even made some raw gingerbread biscuit recently, for instance, and I put all of those in there, and it was just awesome. So I like to use those for that. But generally, I just use the blends these days. So I'll tend to have a strength in the morning, a rejuvenate at some point during the day, and then a serenity in the evening. That is really perfect for me. Do I absolutely have to have all these, otherwise I feel bad? To be honest, no, not anymore. But I can feel the difference. I know it's optimizing me, so I still go for those. Tell you, if anything goes wrong with me, it tends to be the liver. My liver is still not optimal, and I just did a liver flush, in fact, and feel a lot better for it now. And so when I feel the liver is not optimal in any way, I'll go for the cleanse tea, and I may have several of those even during the day. I personally use quite high dosages. I'll often put 2 teaspoons even in a cup, but I would still kind of don't go for more than 2 teaspoons a day. That'll tend to be enough. And I personally always add stevia to it. I find it delicious, and it's actually a spleen tonic as well. It's good for you, so love to add that to it. So that's probably it for tonic herbs most of the time. I also take supplements. I take krill oil, especially at the moment religiously, because I'm doing neurofeedback, which is kind of brain optimization, trying to help it be the best it can be. So I take extra krill oil for that. But I normally have 2,000 milligrams a day. I have marine phytoplankton for the same reason. I have that every day at least. I really love the type that I sell, Oceans Alive. I know some people talk about their other one being stronger in terms of like nutritional value, something that's measurable. But there's something in the Oceans Alive one that I sell, which I've always liked, and that's why it's the only one that I sell. And I recently just saw a promotion for it saying, we are the only marine phytoplankton that's actually live, right? All the others is dried and dead. And I was like, ah, yes, I think that is the difference that I can actually feel. The living marine phytoplankton, and these are plants, right? Just seems to get me in a way that none of the others do. So I definitely go for that. Also go for vitamin D3 at this time of year, certainly. I am at the moment. Antioxidant Extreme, I always use. I'm a really big fan of astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. I think that's almost miraculous as antioxidants go. And since I've been taking it, I haven't been sunburned, even going from English weather to being in Hawaii in California in like 30 degree or 80 degree heat, right? It's still not burnt. Despite being in the sun midday, I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's the power of the astaxanthin. So I really love astaxanthin as well. Minerals, I certainly have to minerals. I use magnesium oil, of course. I use daily multiple, definitely. At the moment, I'm using calcium magnesium as well and blood sugar support. But I kind of have those on and off. And in fact, I'm waiting for my mineral results at the moment. And if I find out I don't need them, I may well stop those. But I'll certainly continue with the daily multiple. That will be my my mainstay. And again, if my liver's not happy, I'll sometimes go for the liver rescue as well by Health Force Nutritionals. Oh, and at the moment, actually, I'm taking the intestinal drawing formula first thing in the morning with sodium bicarbonate to help support in clearing out my intestines. So that's quite a lot. That's me. Obviously, I'm an enthusiast of this kind of thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. It's not like you necessarily need all that stuff. I would say in most cases, an omega-3 like krill oil, daily multiple, and a herb or blend like Rejuvenate is appropriate in the vast majority of cases. And everything else is also awesome. So let's have a look at all these questions. Wow, we've got loads. Okay, I'm going to start first come, first served. No one, it seems, wants to speak to me in person, except for possibly we've got Heather on the phone. Do you have any questions, Heather, that you want to kick the whole live thing off with, or shall I just read out everyone else's? Press star 2 to let me know if you do. Okay, she's good for now. Heather is a long-term friend and collaborator who's on the call with us. So, the first question is from Ross. He says, apologies you can't speak live, no worries. He's in a library, fair enough. He says he got an adrenal stress index. And by the way, I'm just using first names. If you don't want me to use any of your names, including first, then please just say so. So I got an adrenal stress index done, and my cortisol levels elevated slightly. Obviously, the first thing I need to do is address my lifestyle. Yes, correct. But I was also wondering about herbs. So yes, the most important thing I would look at for adrenal stress and high cortisol would not necessarily be herbs, to be honest. It would be looking at your mindset, right, to prevent overwhelm. Maybe time management might be an issue with that. Maybe dealing with how you approach things which might overwhelm you. So that's on the mind level. And then, yeah, on the practical physical level, really all the stuff in Easy Exhausting Cure or High Energy Academy. So hydration, right, and mineralization, alkalizing the body, breathing correctly, right? But as the question is about herbs, I will not go into those in too much detail and answer the question about herbs. I was going to grab some Serenity or Rejuvenate tea, but I noticed they both have licorice in them. Apparently, licorice reduces the breakdown of cortisol in the body and is therefore good for when you're making enough cortisol, but not so great when you're making too much. Basically, what do you recommend when a certain amount of stress is inevitable, but you want to balance cortisol? Well, as I say, to begin with, I would look at all that basic stuff. I'd also look at blood sugar. When insulin is high, cortisol will tend to be high as well. So I look at the way you're eating, probably where you're eating is even more important than what you're eating when it comes to blood sugar. If you don't eat for several hours after waking up, for instance, or if you eat every couple of hours, these can be problems. And then, of course, the what you're eating as well, and what you're eating first, right? If you start the day with a high carbohydrate meal, that tends to ruin blood sugar. So I'd look at all those kind of issues. And then, yeah, in terms of the herbs, listen, Ross, the Serenity, Rejuvenate, Strength, all of them. And by the way, those are the three I'd recommend. I'd go for Strength, actually, probably above Rejuvenate, Serenity and Strength, if you wanted to go for just two, because the Strength has those proven benefits of balancing blood sugar, which relates so closely to cortisol. And then, of course, Serenity to generally, you know, help relax you and lower the cortisol. And then the Rejuvenate to help your body deal with the stress. So, yeah, all three, ideally. But I'd probably go for them in that order of importance. And so what is the question here? So the amount of licorice in these herbs is so small that it's not really an issue. It's something like 2%. They're added to the herbal formulas as a harmonizer. That's the title of them, to make them work together. So you're only going to be taking small amounts of blend anyway, right? Like maybe 1 or 2 teaspoons a day. So like it's going to be such a small amount that it's not going to be an issue. And remember, the blends are formulated to be balanced in their own way. So, I really wouldn't be concerned about that. If you have an allergy to licorice or something, then sure. But, that amount of licorice, there's also the blood pressure issue of excess licorice, right? There's various potential problems with licorice, but not in the amount of quantities that we have unless you are allergic or incredibly sensitive to it. So I hope that answers that. The next question we have here is from lovely Mary. Ox bile and pancreatin. Can people go off these again if they have used them? Do they provide temporary aid, or do they actually stop the body producing something it should produce? Well, that's a great question. And it's probably a controversial area that I can't give you a definitive answer in. However, my experience with all these things is that with one notable exception, which I'll share with you in a second, when you start taking them consistently, it doesn't stop your body's ability to make it itself. It gives your body a break, which then means that it can start to recover and recuperate and repair and get to the point where it can make these things itself. So that's my experience of it. With the exception of this, if you have had your gallbladder removed, then you probably would be better off having ox bile supplements for the rest of your life, because you're not going to be able to, you know, replace that. And pancreatin, if you have a severe pancreas, you're not going to have your pancreas removed, but if you have a severe pancreatic disease, for instance, and there's damage to the actual tissues and the cells in the pancreas, and it stops creating it, then yeah, you may need these supplements for the rest of your life. But bar those kind of medical issues, which again, I shouldn't be commenting on, but bar those medical issues where you would have to ask a doctor, obviously, and I would suggest that you would carry on needing those things. You, in my experience, I mean, I have taken both of those and I don't take them anymore. So, you know, that in itself, I would say, you know, just to support your idea that they're a crutch, they can be to the degree, like for instance, if your liver and gallbladder are really overburdened with debris, and for that reason, you're not producing enough bile, and you do feel better when you take ox bile, the only problem might be if you never do anything about that debris, right? So you would still be better off doing something to clear the liver. But all other things being equal, yeah, I would say that that's a really good thing to do. And no, you're not going to become dependent on it, especially not if you're like me and looking for a permanent solution while you're dealing with the temporary symptoms, which is what I'd highly recommend. So Lee says he's got a concern. Since taking Hoshiwu, my hair has started to thin and I've been ill with colds more than ever. And I've been taking reishi since the summertime every day. I hardly ever got ill and always had great hair. It all seems a big myth to me. Okay, well, Lee, if it's a myth, then it would be unrelated, right? if you don't believe in any of this kind of stuff, then we could say that it's just purely random and all the rest of it. I don't know about your situation, obviously. There may be a serious medical issue going on, which I can't comment on and which would make the herbs irrelevant, right? So I'd highly recommend that you find out about that. However, it is also possible that when you start taking herbs, if you do have a lot of toxicity in your body, which needs to get out, that initially you start to get ill, and that initially body starts to use up your reserves of minerals, which would include being in the bones, teeth and hair. So what I would recommend for you, Lee, assuming that you still do want to hear anything I have to say after the herb's not working, is get a hair mineral analysis and find out. I would suspect very strongly that you're depleted in all kinds of minerals, and that's why the herbs aren't working for you. And that's why I offer the two together in most cases as a complete package. I feel like the herbs send the messages that the body needs, the bricks, the building blocks of the minerals to actually take action on in a lot of cases. So again, I understand if you are skeptical now, but if you're willing to listen to what I have to say, I would suggest A, go and see a medical doctor, make sure it's not something serious. B, if it's not, he says there's nothing wrong, then I would look at getting a hair mineral analysis. Martine, who I've met before, hi Martine, says, my friend from the Isle of Man tried to contact you and phone over a week ago. This meant I had to order and take it with me. I'm sorry about that. That's a customer service issue, obviously. If you could forward that to me, I'd love to know, because, you know, customer service is important to me. And obviously, I cannot do it. Like, this is an example of me doing it more than I did before, but I have other things going on. However, it is important to me that everyone is served properly. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've had great feedback about my customer service. Jessica, it's just excellent. However, you know, we all do make mistakes. And if that's one of hers, I do want to know about it. And I will ask her about it. And I will see if there's any systems we can put in place to make sure it doesn't happen. So thank you for that feedback. I tried to find the magnesium oil on your website. The one that you sold at your talk in Hive, it cost £10. The one that I could find cost £22. Oh, yeah, that's because the one that I sold then, Martine, was a weaker one that was half the size. So that's the difference, to answer the next part of your question. The one that I sold there I liked because it didn't cause as much stinging, but I decided to stop stocking it because I just felt it was not as good value for money. The better value for money was to have the stronger one, even, and that just means you use less of it. So that's basically why. The one that I had at the time was weaker and smaller. K.I. says, hi Owen, what are the top herbs for helping gaining muscle? That's a great question. I'm kind of going to answer this question from two directions, Key. The problem with gaining muscle is normally twofold. It's first of all, it's digestive, and then second of all, it's hormonal. So the digestive one is often the thing that's completely overlooked, which is the body's ability to assimilate nutrients, right? I'd say the best herbs for that are actually not mine. They would be intestinal drawing formula and intestinal movement formula from Health Force Nutritionals, which are more medicinal herbs and tonic herbs. But what they basically do is help to clear out your intestines. Just to put it in a nutshell, they help to clear out the small and large intestine, which then means that you can absorb and assimilate more nutrients from the same amount of food, which is obviously going to be beneficial. So I would look at that if you have a problem of being underweight. If you're actually perfectly, you know, a weight that you're happy with and you just want to increase muscle, and you don't have any issues with digestion, then I would look more towards the hormonal herbs. And basically, I would say that is what I created the strength formula for. You know, I've had some people who don't have digestive issues say they've had amazing benefits and muscle increases with that. And I've had other people say that they haven't had much happen. So to be honest, it does depend on the person. However, if your body is primed and ready and doesn't have any major health concerns and you're just looking to put on muscle, then the strength formula tends to work really well. In fact, I've got one customer who is a local who's like just absolutely huge guy and already, and he said that he put on a significant amount of muscle taking it. So it helps get you to the next level if you're already good. That's the way I'd put it, the hormonal herbs. And so, yeah, the strength formula is probably the best thing. Individual herbs. Might be like horny goatweed, tribulus, pretty famous for that among bodybuilding circles. Chinese herbs, also sistanch, morinda. What else? Cnidium, that would be another one. Cnidium. They'd probably be like the main ones that I would use. And then I guess there's the more qi herbs rather than yangjing herbs, like astragalus as well, for helping to put on muscle. But yeah, I'd say basically the strength formula pretty much covers that goal. Martin Woodvine asks, what is the difference between the Vitaminal Green and your green superfoods? And I guess with that, you're asking about my Lionheart Super Greens. The answer, well, there's a few differences. The Vitaminal Green is significantly more expensive, and that's the reason why I created mine. I really, several years ago, I was working with clients and I was recommending these superfood blends, and a lot of them would say, oh, you know, I just use half a teaspoon a day. And I said, well, you know, that's not really going to do very much. You know, this is a food, so you do need a reasonable quantity of it. I mean, it's better than nothing, but you need a reasonable quantity of it if you expect it to really, you know, help you. And they said, oh, but it's so expensive. I was like, okay, I need to create my own green superfood blend that isn't so expensive. And to be honest, that was the main reason that Super Greens is born, and that is why it is a lot cheaper than other people's. Purposefully so, because I want everyone to feel they can have enough of it. Vitaminal Green, it has more of a focus on different types of nutrients, I believe. It has probiotic factors in there, for instance, while my one has more of a focus on herbs. I guess that's another big difference. Mine has you know, more of an array of herbs. The Vitaminal Green has more of an array of nutritive ingredients, various different grasses and seaweeds and all the rest of it. But yeah, I'd say the big bottom line really is the price. That's the main difference. And then on a practical level, the other main difference is taste, of course. And some people prefer the taste of my Super Greens. Some people prefer the taste of the Vitaminal Green. I personally don't really like the taste of either of them anymore. but I did a good year and a half of having my green superfood thing every day in large quantities. So I guess I reached a saturation point. However, I personally would still prefer my Super Greens, the taste of it, to the Vitaminal Green. But I know other people feel exactly the opposite, and that's absolutely fine as well. Taste is obviously just a matter of taste, right? So that's another potential reason. So I would say, you know, if cost is your main issue, then definitely Super Greens would be better. If not, then just try both of them and see which you actually prefer the taste of and prefer the effect of. Thank you for all these questions, by the way. They're awesome. Even the challenging ones, I'm totally happy to have them. As you can see, I'm not editing anything here, right? Every single thing, I'm just going to do my very best to answer and do my very best to help. And I really appreciate you going to the time and effort and energy of being here with me. So let's go to the next question. I'm taking, see, we've got a few more people on the phone now as well, which is great. If you would like to ask me any questions live on the phone, then feel free to just dial *2 and then I will know that you want to talk to me, and then we can speak. So go ahead and do that if you want to speak live. Okay, our next question here is from Jen, and she says, I'm taking the cleanse tea. Do you recommend a certain diet to go along with it, avoiding or adding certain foods? Yeah, that's a nice question, Jen. I would say it depends why you're taking the cleanse tea. I mean, as you presumably, if you're taking the cleanse tea, you want to generally get toxins out of your body, and you quite possibly want to specifically support your liver. Yeah, so I would suggest there are certain foods that you don't have. However, these are mainly just going to be foods that I recommend that you never have. So I would recommend don't have any soya or soy products, depending on where you are, depending on what it's called. Don't have any gluten-containing foods, right? Don't have trans fats. And I'd say trans fats is probably the thing that's particularly an issue if we're talking about helping the liver, right? Trans fats would be, by the way, not just fried food, right? Although that would be an example of it. Not just crisps and chips, but also pretty much anything that says it's got oil in that's been cooked, or even that hasn't been cooked. Anything that says it's got oil in. Any packaged processed food that says it's got oil in. So yeah, that's cakes and biscuits and crisps and crackers, unless they specify that they're using cold pressed oil. But it's also even things that seem more innocent. Like I always like to pick on this one, hummus, right? If you buy hummus from a supermarket, you're like, oh, nice health food, right? or maybe guacamole or something like that, right? Healthy food, nice. And you look at the ingredients, and it's, 30% vegetable oil, or 30% sunflower. Oh, that's all right, that's good for me. No, it's not, right? Any vegetable oil, whether it's in the raw or cooked processed food, unless it specifies that it's cold-pressed. It may say that it's, it's extra virgin cold-pressed olive oil, for instance, in which case, fair enough. But in most cases, it's going to be heated and processed vegetable oil. Often it's soy oil or canola oil, which is the American term for rapeseed oil, for those people who are more UK-based. That stuff is really toxic, and it's really hard for your liver to process and deal with, right? So I'd highly recommend not having that. I would also recommend not having any artificial sugars to benefit the liver, right? They really, really mess up the liver. So no high fructose corn syrup, nothing like that. Now, this person asking this question is probably aware of all that, as I imagine that most of you probably are, although, you never know, telling you everything. In terms of taking the cleanse tea, the only thing that you're going to be more likely to have and not realize, other than maybe accidentally having bad fats, would be nuts, for instance. Nuts, especially if they're unsoaked, are quite often quite tough on the liver, especially in the large quantities that people often eat them. So I would take it easy with nuts, personally. That would be one thing to help support the cleanse from working. In terms of foods which support the cleanse tea and support the liver, I would go for my two favorite liver foods would be radish. Not a favorite for the taste, by the way. My wife loves the taste, but I can't stand the taste. But I'll still have radishes when I'm looking at supporting my liver, because I know it's that good. It's really awesome for them. Also, artichokes. Love artichokes. I have them a lot, almost every day at the moment, actually. It's my favorite tasting food in the world. But it's also really good for the liver. In fact, some people actually sell artichoke in capsules as a liver tonic. I don't do that, because you can just get it as a food, right? And it's delicious, so get it as a food. But if you're a raw fooder, which I know some of you may be, you can actually take artichokes and juice them, so long as your juicer is tough enough. I've certainly done it. In most instances, though, just cooking the artichoke and eating especially the heart, but also tearing the flesh off the leaves is just delicious. Big fan of artichokes for the liver as well. That's the main thing. I mean, there's other foods that are kind of in the realm of food, like wild foods, like fresh dandelion leaves, for instance, which people might class as a food rather than a herb. But I think we're more in the herb territory with that again. But that would be awesome as well. Some dandelion leaves in your salad. I know in the US they actually sell these in stores sometimes in the grocery section. So if you do classify that as a food, that might be another good one. That would be a good starting place. Oh, I guess one more might be beetroot for the liver. Like beetroot juice especially would tend to be how I would have that. Beetroot is also a little bit of a laxative, so it helps to cleanse not only the liver but also the intestines. So that's a good one as well. Great question by Jen. We've got an anonymous question here saying, is nettle a tonic herb? That's a great question. And you know what? My answer to that actually is no. I had it in the cleanse formula. I don't anymore. It's not in the new cleanse formula. I had it in there because it is pretty beneficial, right? It's almost like a tonic food. It's one of the most nutrient-dense foods out there. However, it's not tonic in the sense, first of all, it's pretty strongly diuretic, which means dehydrating, right? So it encourages your body to flush out fluids, which can certainly be a good thing, especially if you have water retention. However, one of my definitions of a tonic is you can have as much as you want, pretty much, for as long as you want, and I wouldn't classify nettle with that. I would say if you have very large amounts, it can easily lead to dehydration. I'd also say it's not a tonic because the alkaloids in there are potentially an issue for the liver. It's not for the majority of people, but especially if your liver is sensitive, then there is that chance of reacting to it. In fact, nettle pollen is something that people with allergies often actually suffer an allergy to as well. So for a few different kind of maybe circumstantial reasons, I wouldn't classify nettle as a tonic really know. I mean, ultimately, I'd say it's a cleansing herb, right? It's a powerful cleansing herb. It also has numerous awesome beneficial health qualities, but I wouldn't class it as a cleanser per se. Okay, we are getting low on questions. Oh, no, we're not. I just refreshed. My God, we've got loads. Awesome. I love you guys. Okay. Where were we? Oh, wow. Cool, I have loads of them. So just going through all I can hear you. You mentioned a while back that herbal items may not be allowed by EU law in the future. Is this still the case? Anonymous question again. Great question. Very interesting question. I asked my contact in who kind of has his toes dipped in the pool of government and authorities at all times to do with all these law changes, exactly the same thing, because he's been warning me about all this for over a year. His company is in constant talks with the government about this, because he is one of the representative of one of the biggest Chinese herb companies in the UK. Their turnover is millions, you know, so they have some kind of some kind of clout, as it were, in the business world and therefore with government. And so he's the person I went to for this. And interestingly enough, he always told me the truth when everyone was like using scare tactics, like, you know, oh my God, all herbs are going to be illegal soon. I was like, well, he was like, no, it's okay. It's going to be tighter and you're not going to be able to sell blends as easily and unless you're a practitioner. And it turned out that's exactly what happened. But yeah, what's happened to all that? Because that was like a year ago and almost. So my, you know, don't quote me on this, but between you and me, answer to that is that apparently the government has just run out of money to be chasing around after things that are irrelevant. Hooray! You know, let's all celebrate that this recession has some benefits. It means that the government has not got quite as much funding to intrude in our lives in all these areas which are completely pointless. So we can all do a big cheer about that and just say, but, you know, we just never know. They may choose to prioritize at any time. They may, you know, we may recover from the financial global recession and every government group may have money again. So who knows, right? But for now, it's not something that we need to worry about, apparently. But I can't guarantee that. For all I know, I'll do this, someone from the government hears it and shuts me down by next week. We never know, right? So we always want to keep it underneath the surface. We want to not be blatant and flagrant, right? We just want to say, okay, here we are. We're helping ourselves. We're helping the people we care about. But let's not make huge waves, right? Let's just help people and help each other and help ourselves. Okay. Nick asks, do you have any suggestions for repairing NDMA receptor sites for people with a history of MDMA or cannabis use? I mean, my general advice is going to be very general, but it's to support the body in building up yin jing energy, right? Which is all the stuff again in the Easy Exhaustion Cure and or in High Energy Academy, because what yin jing is, right, in Chinese medicine, is it's that capacity to heal, recover, repair, and recuperate, right? So it's not like I can say, oh, just take this substance, because even if we had the perfect substance, your body would still need to know what to do with it, and it would still need to actually do it, right? And so, yeah, we can give our body building blocks for neurotransmitter receptors. I mean, there's essential fats, right? There's phospholipids, and there is all the amino acids. So in that sense, yes. But I would say really you could eat them all day and consume them all day. If your body's not up for healing, it won't be up for healing. So the main thing you want to work at is building up your body's yin jing, right? Reducing stress, increasing reserves of energy, which relates to things like bone marrow, stem cells, the body's ability to efficiently replace and replicate broken or damaged cells. And so, yeah, it's kind of the same advice as usual, I'm afraid, Nick, nothing special. So definitely do all that stuff first. And if you have been doing all that stuff and feel better, but you feel like you've reached a plateau and you want to know the next thing, then, yeah, I would recommend really ramp up the essential fats, especially EPA, DHA and the phospholipids, and maybe add in some brain-based neurotransmitters as well, precursors like L-tyrosine, L-taurine, and L-tryptophan. And even though they may not replace the receptor sites per se, they will certainly help you feel better, especially if you've had a lot of MDMA and cannabis use, because that tends to deplete your body of serotonin and dopamine, which tryptophan and tyrosine in turn will help to make you feel okay again. And in fact, that's exactly what I did for myself when I was recovering and when I stopped having cannabis. By the way, in the interest of full disclosure, I may as well just put all my cards on the table here. I used to have a lot of cannabis. And when I stopped, like, my dopamine was so depleted, life felt so boring and so grey and so nothing. And I had to rebuild that, right, using all the, you know, systems which I teach. And then I worked on building the neurotransmitters as well with those amino acids and the essential fats. And that worked for me. So if it worked for me, it can work for you. Next question, anonymously. Are some forms of MSM harmful? I don't know of any form that is actually harmful. I mean, you know, if it's adulterated and improperly made or whatever, then yeah. But pure MSM, no, not as far as I know. There's no toxicity to it, even in large dosages. That's an easy one. Next question. Is using the Supergreens mix enough to supply all the minerals the body needs? That's an interesting question. I would say it depends on if you're depleted or not. So In reasonably large quantities, like quite a few tablespoons a day, if your digestion is good and you are not deficient, or not at least not chronically deficient in any mineral, then yeah, possibly. The mineral that it may still be lacking would be salt and potassium, because you need quite large amounts of that. But that's something that's, you know, salt is easy to get, and potassium is found in most foods. Most people are deficient in magnesium, and then again, the Supergreens is not going to be enough to reverse that. You want to use magnesium topically. But again, hypothetically, if you were not deficient in anything and you're having large amounts of Supergreens and your digestion was good, then yes. Why am I saying it that way? You know, you'd think if I wanted to promote the Supergreens that I would say, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I just want to be real with you. You know, if you are depleted in minerals, it's not easy to top them back up again. It's certainly possible, but it's not easy. And I would certainly go for, yes, high nutrient-dense food. The Supergreens is definitely awesome. But I'd also go for the mineral supplements as well. I'd go for hair mineral analysis to find out once and for all what I actually need to top up particularly. Great question. Next, just ploughing through them here. We've got so many. I'm very happy to help you guys, though. We've got Kerry here, who says, I am a student of Infinite Tai Chi. Sounds cool. And have been recommended to try the Super Smoothie Mixes. Oh, I'll be interested to know who's recommending that to you, who is teaching you that. That's great. Just wondering, any other recommendations? I feel I have some right-sided pains. Gallbladder, maybe a bit of kidney. I'm 50 years old, fairly healthy otherwise, but addicted to sugar, I feel. Oh, Kerry, it sounds like you have a few different issues there. Addiction to sugar is a sign of, you know, either blood sugar imbalance or some kind of infection, fungal, yeast infection, often referred to generically as candida, and it's not easy to deal with effectively, although it's certainly possible. And I'm afraid I can't just say, just buy this one product and it will get rid of it. It tends to be a little bit of work. You can contact me, Kerry. I don't do a lot of one-to-one consultations anymore, but I do results-based packages, so people who are, you know, dedicated to a particular result, I work with sometimes. So if you might be interested in that, then let me know. If not, no problem. Of course, I have plenty to do. But yeah, I would say there's not one product that's going to address that. Gallbladder again, right-sided pains. Well, you could certainly tonify the liver as a starting place. The liver and gallbladder are obviously an organ pair, as you probably know, as a Taoist practitioner. So for that, you could use the cleanse tea. I'd start off gently with that if you've actually got pains on the right side. And then I would also probably add in some of the liver rescue as well. I would also, by the way, and I'm not just saying this to cover myself, I actually mean it, just get that checked by a medical doctor, right? If you're actually experiencing pains on the right side, The liver actually itself doesn't have nerve endings, but still the tissue that kind of around it can catch when the liver is inflamed. Could be the gallbladder, could be the pancreas, could be the intestines, could be various things. I would highly recommend going to a medical doctor. If they were absolutely no help, then by all means, you could then look at the cleanse and the liver rescue, like I mentioned. Possibly also MSM and zeolite or zeoforce would be good as well to help the body to deal with the worst toxins, which would take some of the strain off your liver. But yeah, Kerry, to me, it sounds like you have an issue which would need more help than I can give you in this format. But I've still given you a couple of things to try, right? So thank you for your question. Next question, do you practice Qigong or Tai Chi? At the moment, only sporadically, I will admit. I practiced probably the most difficult form of Qigong for every day for around 2 years, right? So it's not like amazing, but you know, it's cool. And that gave me huge amounts of benefit. That was the more physically demanding type called Zhang Zhong. I also practiced the Mantak Chia type of internal cultivation of energy of Qigong for, again, around 2 years daily. And now I've kind of dropped a lot of these practices, and I just practice them as and when I need to. And the only practice I really do still very commonly is breath control. So if you classify that as Qigong, then you could say so. But the kind of general movement Qigong, I do not anymore. Keith says, are the herbal extract blends safe to use whilst on medications? I cannot comment on that, Keith. I cannot. I will tell you as a general idea that these herbs are tonics and therefore as safe as food. But then again, some foods can interfere with medications, right? So I absolutely cannot say yes or no to that. Even if I knew exactly what herb and exactly what medication you meant, I still wouldn't be able to comment. You'd have to run that by a doctor. And yeah, thank you. Great question, by the way. And it is important for you to get the answer to that question. I just like can't legally or, as I say, morally give it to you. Charles says, my father has breathing problems due to coal dust deposits when he worked as a miner. Ooh, sounds bad. I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know any herbs or anything that either A, can detox or clear the lungs of foreign materials, B, can open the airways to make breathing easier, and C, can help to avoid infections, particularly respiratory infections? Thanks. That's a great question. So again, you know, can't comment on any medical issues. However, if that's not a medical issue, I will comment on it. And to say yes, I would probably recommend, so the B is probably easiest, how can I open the airways? I think most people know this, right? Eucalyptus is, you know, a classic herb used for opening the airways. Usually, you know, like the Vicks vapor rub thing, right? Or the Vicks inhaler, or putting some of the essential oils in water, or going into a steam room. That would be even better. And then adding some eucalyptus essential oil. That would be awesome. That would help to open up the airways. C, help avoid infections, particularly respiratory infections. Yes, I would recommend my immune herbal blend for that one. There are a few herbs in there which are dedicated to supporting the immune systems in general, and a few herbs which are supporting the respiratory tract specifically. So that would actually be a perfect herbal blend for that, although the usual medical disclaimers apply. And the first one, detox or clear the lungs of foreign materials. I mean, the main thing that I would encourage for that would actually be doing breathing practice and drinking water while you're doing it. And I've done that. You know, I certainly haven't had a cold, but I had like 15 years of incredibly chronic smoking, not 15, 13 years, incredibly chronic smoking to clear out. And I coughed up a lot of that stuff by doing breathing practices. And I would do the breathing practice and then drink water, doing the breathing practice, then drink water. And I would just cough up phlegm with nasty stuff in it. And I recommend, yeah, you could do that or he could do that. If it's not likely you can get him to take action on something like that, then, or even if you can, another thing would probably be Zeoforce that I would go for. That's an excellent detoxifier of any kind of nastiness, which the body finds it hard to get rid of itself. So I would definitely go for, I would go for Zeoforce anyway, to be honest, no matter what you did. Assuming, of course, that it's okay with his doctor. So, next question. Anonymous one. Do you sell colostrum? And the simple answer to that is no. I am not going to knock it. I may well sell it one day, but I have found it, like everything, I say this, I think, in my videos, and it is, you know, it's genuine, it's true. Everything that I stock in line on herbs is something that I personally know works. Not just someone sent me some promotional material and it sounded appealing or whatever, right? If I haven't had a result with it, or if someone close to me hasn't had a result with it, I don't stock it, right? And in the vast majority of cases, it's me. I had this something close to me, someone close to me being criticized because I haven't taken the progesterone cream, right? Which is the female hormone one. But I know what a difference that has made to my wife. So again, that's going on, right? But yeah, I personally didn't notice any difference with the one I tried of that. So I don't do it. But I'm open to being educated on that or having an experience which is different. Great. Next question from Jay. Do you have any advice for enhancing gut motility, non-fiber related, especially nerve supply to gut? Yeah, I would use, again, can't comment if that's a medical condition, but otherwise I would recommend using a combination of Health Force intestinal movement formula and intestinal drawing formula for that one. I don't quite know why you'd want to return nerve supply to the gut, because I'm not hearing what the root cause is there yet. I guess gut motility. But yeah, I mean, the problem is generally going to be because it's caked in, you know, very stubborn waste, right? And so I would do an intestinal cleanse from Health Force to clear that out. That would be my advice for that one. Next one, another anonymous person. Can the cleanse formula be effective at clearing liver stones without having the need to liver flush? That is a really good question, and I would say it depends on what type. There's generally two types of liver stones that come out, right? My wife has just done actually that flush with me over the weekend, and she was a great example of both of them. She cleared out more stones than we even knew it was possible for a liver to contain. A lot of them were huge. And some of them were green, right? They're kind of almost fluorescent green, which is kind of lumps of bile, which some people say is created by the olive oil. I don't believe that for a second, but whatever. But some of them are like the hard white rock type ones, or even black ones. And they are the really old ones, and they are a result of calcification inside the liver. So to answer your question, I'd say it depends how bad it gets. Like, I think the amount that my wife released, it would take her maybe a decade or more to be clearing those. And then even then, I would say the cleanse formula is effective for the green ones, which does tend to be the majority of them, because it breaks down fat, which is the main constituent of those. But it's not going to be effective for the hard ones, the white or black ones. I say white, it's kind of grayish. And what we would want to do for that is decalcifying substances. So that would be zeolites, again, Zeoforce. It would be MSM and fulvic acid. Those would be what I'd use for those hard liver stones. I guess it depends on your level of patience, right? And if a liver flush is too much for you because your body's too weak to deal with that, which is definitely a possibility for some people, then yeah, that would be another way of doing it. But I would use the cleanse for the green ones. And then the other things I mentioned, MSM, Zeoforce, and fulvic acid for the harder ones, the calcified ones. Great question. God, these are amazing questions. Oh my God, there's loads of them. Love you guys. Okay, let's see. You are some dedicated people. So, next question, anonymous. What do you recommend taking or doing in preparation or during after a long-haul flight? And what type of breathing do you do on the flight? That's a really great question. I'll just preamble that by saying that I cannot stand flying, personally. No, I'm not scared. Yes, you know, I don't experience any anxiety or anything. The problem for me is the conditions, right? So I was reading about this recently, and the air is particularly the problem, right? I saw that in people are like, I was always like, first class, why would I pay five times as much to sit in a seat with, like, you know, 6 inches more leg room, you know, and someone handing me champagne? This doesn't seem to make much sense. But I recently discovered that The amount of fresh air that's in the first class cabin is 5 times as much or more as in the economy cabin. So that's a good reason to fly first class, if not any other. Anyway, that's a little bit of an aside. So yeah, I mean, the air quality is appalling on a flight. It's incredibly dehydrated. Your body's bombarded with radiation. So not to repeat myself too much, but again, I would say all the recommendations which are in the Easy Exhausting Cure and or High Energy Academy are especially relevant for you if you're flying, right? What I would pay particular attention to would be the issue of hydration, right? So making sure you get enough water, making sure you also have enough electrolytes. We've got Rehydrate, which is a nice little formula I do on Lineart Herbs. Not necessarily in all cases. I don't really take it, but I will take it. It comes in the container, which I believe means you can take it on flights. But I will have it and have had it on flights, right, to make sure that otherwise the water can just go straight through you, which we don't want either, right? So I would use Rehydrate. I would also make sure you're really highly topped up on omega threes for two reasons. First of all, because it helps the body's hydration, but also because it helps protect from that radiation, right? I personally would have high amounts of krill oil before, and I would take marine phytoplankton. Well, I would. I do, and I will. I'm actually flying again this Tuesday, doing an 8-hour flight, which I'm not particularly looking forward to, but I'm going to be prepared. I will definitely take that marine phytoplankton on board with me and have several droppers full of that. That's me personally. I will do that. And that, by the way, made a big difference to me when I went in June. I went there the first time and I hadn't had omega-3s for a few days. I'd just run out and been lazy with it. And I didn't take any on board with me and I felt so dried out. Now, again, not probably more than anyone else, but I'm just more aware of my body, I think, after all this process I've been through. And I found it horrible, right? It's unpleasant. And then I tried on the flight on the way back with marine phytoplankton with me, and it was a huge difference. So a really big fan of that. And then I guess lastly, also for specific recommendations, I'd also throw in the protection from radiation thing. I would throw in antioxidants, right? So I would take Antioxidant Extreme and Astaxanthin. Personally, I do take those anyway, but I would have an extra big dose, or if I happen to run out, I'd make sure I had those again. I would have them before, during, and after the flight to help protect from the radiation from the sun, right? And I do experience these things as working. Like I said, I've tried it in going from no sun to being full out in the midday sun whilst not being very tanned, and then just tanning without burning. I think that's a good sign that my body is able to deal with the sun's radiation pretty well. Not that I recommend that to anyone else, of course. I believe it would do the same thing with the radiation that you get from flying high. So those would be my top tips. What type of breathing do you do on the flight? I wouldn't do like pranayama where you're attempting to breathe more than usual. I would just breathe from the gut, right, in a relaxed way, in a kind of minimal way, because you don't need to be breathing any more of that dirty air. You know, the other thing, other than it being really depleted of oxygen, is that it's dirty as well. It's recycled, so it can have a lot more infectious agents in it. In fact, the person hasn't asked about that, but I guess I would, and in fact I am, and do. I would also have immunity along with the flight to keep me safe from that. Although these days it takes a lot for me to get anything like a cold. In fact, I haven't had one for years anymore because I've had other things. So I wouldn't be too worried about that kind of thing, but I'll just take it anyway as a precautionary measure. So someone's asked a follow-up question here. Repancreatin, it is standard on Gerson therapy, okay, but no advice on getting off it, so thank you. All other things being equal, it's not going to harm you to take pancreatin for a long time. If you're talking about Gerson therapy, you're probably talking about cancer, right? In that case, you probably will be better off having it for a long time, even years. It certainly doesn't need to be a lifelong addiction. And once your whole body is optimized and all your organs are working well, even if that does take several years, you don't need to carry on taking it unless you've lost the ability to make your own. Sandrine says, I agree that Jessica is great. Smiley face. That's wonderful. So that's one vote yes for Jessica, one vote no. Sorry, being silly there. Thank you. That's really great to hear. Generally, everyone is very, very happy with her customer service. But I want to know if you're not. In fact, I may well send out a questionnaire soon to ask you guys about Lion Heart Herbs, because I really want it to be the best possible experience for you. And I completely agree with our person earlier that, you know, yes, you should absolutely receive response. Our policy, in fact, is to respond within 24 hours on a weekday. So a week is definitely not acceptable. Okay, next question is from Joanna, who asks, for people with very poor digestion, who can't have green smoothies, salads, green juices, etc., because they get frequent diarrhea, do you recommend any specific herb or supplement, and what foods for optimal nutrition? That is a really great question, Joanna. It's a really tricky one. I found some of the hardest people to help are those people who have severe digestive issues, because then a lot of the recommendations which I normally make of take this, take that, won't work, right? I'm going to kind of sidestep that issue for a second, Joanna, and say I would ask you to look at why their digestion is so bad. And if you're in this health field, which I'm sure you are, if you're here with us right now, then you're probably used to looking at physical things like food and diet and toxicity maybe and stuff like that. I would agree with all that, but I would also look at stress and chronic tension. People who have poor digestion generally, as well as having eaten badly at some point, tend to be very sympathetic nervous system dominant, which is another way of saying stressed. And they also tend to be very control orientated, like they need to hold on to control all the time of themselves, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, except for from a health point of view, it's not great. So I would want to look at the mindset and psychological issues as well, Joanna, to like resolve that. But anyway, kind of that's stepping outside the bounds because you didn't really ask me about that. But that is what I'd really encourage looking at. The practical or physical thing that you can do about that is to do breathing practice extensively, and I would highly recommend that, especially before a meal. I would highly recommend that you have a rule that you never ever eat until you are relaxed first, right? And if you're not relaxed and you need to eat, then you get yourself relaxed and then you eat, right? Very, very important rule. So that's probably the most important thing. Other than that, chewing, right? Thorough chewing, very important again. Specific herbs or supplements, yes. I would recommend intestinal drawing formula, again, by Health Force Nutritionals, to start to clear through whatever it is that's stuck in there, which is irritating the intestine so much. I would recommend a full intestinal cleanse. And that may kind of irritate your digestion as well, but at least you won't get diarrhea, because what the formula does is it's a bulking agent. So it contains very, very powerful toxicity sponges, zeolite, which probably is at that in the world, but also activated charcoal, which is very good as well, used by medical doctors when people are poisoned, poisoned intestinally. So yes, I would go for drawing formula as a first thing. What foods for optimal nutrition? I can't really answer that without knowing more about you, what you like, what you've already tried, what you haven't tried, what you need, you know. I would suggest generally blended is going to be better, it's going to be easier. So if you say, you know, green smoothies don't work because of, you know, whatever, the food's too hard to digest maybe, is there something, whatever it is that you do eat that your digestion does normally feel okay with or even good with, if you blend that up, it's going to be easier for your body to digest and it's going to give your intestines a chance to relax. The other recommendation I'll make it to the herbs is actually probably weird and off what you might be expecting, but I'd go for serenity, right? Serenity works on the heart organ system, but that includes the small intestine. So I would look at that. And because it would help to reduce that stress, not necessarily like as soon as you drink it, but long term over the space of a few weeks and months, which would help to then optimize the digestion. And the last thing that I would recommend trying, although this certainly doesn't work with everyone with digestive problems, but it's definitely worth a try, is fermented foods and especially fermented drinks like coconut water kefir and kombucha. Right, let me have a sip of kombucha right now. They can be really awesome for improving digestion. Now, they can sometimes make things worse before they make things better, because if you've got poor digestion, you've almost certainly got some kind of opportunistic organism in there. May not be the root cause, but it's going to be one factor. And so when you take large amount of beneficial organisms and they meet the opportunistic organisms, they tend to fight. Seriously, chemical warfare was invented by bacteria, not humans. It's fascinating. Anyway, so that can often produce initially more digestive problems, and to minimize that, you can have small dosages and be gradual. But yeah, those would be the things that I would encourage looking at more. As I say, it's a complex issue, obviously, often, and I would recommend that you probably work with someone. Again, you know, you can apply with me if you like, or someone who knows how to really work with you quite thoroughly on that, right? Rather than just trying a supplement here, a supplement there. The drawing form is probably the closest I can get to a magic bullet for that. And I have had people have very, very big turnarounds with those kind of issues with that. So that's the thing to try as your easy potential thing. Great question. We have, lost, my God, I've got so many questions. Must be that mastermind phrase. I'll start it till I finish. Where are we? God. Okay. Hi, Owen. I bought the Easy Exhausting Cure. Wonderful. Congratulations. And wonder, does taking a good quality vitamin and mineral supplement negate the need to take the individual mineral supplements? Why would we go to the trouble of buying individual minerals? Thanks. Because it's simply a matter of quantity, Jennifer. So, like with magnesium, right? You need so much of it often if you're deficient in it. And if you bought the Easy Exhaustion Cure, it's probably likely that you just can't fit enough of it into a vitamin or mineral supplement. And then sometimes, you know, magnesium has to be taken topically. I would say that if you're doing pretty well already, you may be right. But if you come because you are depleted, you're probably going to need more than just a multi or provide. But rather than speculating about that, the best possible thing to do is get a hair mineral analysis, right? That is what I would do. It's what I have done. They're very, very instructional, very, very illuminating, and it will save you certainly wasting money on individual minerals that you may well not need. So that would be my recommendation. What are your thoughts on Truth Calkins Jing City regarding the large quantity of Jing herbs a serving provides and the rapid replenishment approach? You know what? I'm ashamed to admit I still haven't got around to watching that, although I got it. But you just kind of told me in a nutshell, what, if you're asking what do I think of large quantities of Jing herbs, then my answer is, yeah, they're awesome. Like, I take them personally. The reason why I put on the packet, you know, maximum, blah, 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 is because there is always someone who's going to have a problem if they have a large dosage. Like one of the first questions was someone who had had some and they had a negative side effect, right? And that is possible. And so if you have large amounts or at a very high dosage and you get, then the negative side effects, if you have them, are going to be worse, right? However, if you're the kind of person, which is probably the most common, who takes the herbs, feels a bit better, but doesn't notice a huge difference and certainly doesn't notice any negative side effects, then absolutely have large dosages. I personally do, and I personally recommend it when I have one-on-one clients. Another person asks, is this talk going to be available to download afterwards? The short answer to that is yes. I will put it up as a blog post, and it will be available to at least listen to, if not download. I'm sure it will be available to download eventually, but I'm not quite sure how to do it with this new website system. But it will, yeah, it will at least be available to listen to. Thelma asks, I've had very serious sleep issues for years, when I often only get 2 or 3 hours a night. I'm really, really sorry. And my heart goes out to you. That is not good. I've tried different things, but would love some advice. I have a violent autistic teenage son, and it causes me a lot of stress. Okay. There is a lot to that, Thelma. I would suggest that you probably contact me and look at some kind of package with me where we really deal with the root cause of that. In terms of me giving you something instant now, though, which is going to make a difference, whatever you do, I would advise trying melatonin and tryptophan. If you tried melatonin before and had it not be effective, By the way, let me backtrack a second there. Melatonin is the neurotransmitter, which is like chemical messenger, which your body naturally makes to tell you to sleep, right? So there's nothing artificial about this. This is literally what your body makes. Now, because of probably chronic tension, stress, possibly even trauma, given what you've just said there in those couple of sentences, your body can get to the place where it goes into a permanent kind of fight or flight mode where it doesn't feel like it's safe to rest. And that's where we can then not sleep. And the body just stops making sufficient quantities of melatonin, which would mean then even if hypothetically you were in a completely safe environment, you still wouldn't be able to sleep because your body is just out of the habit of making that melatonin. And in that instance, it can be very, very, very powerful and effective to add that melatonin in. And a lot of people ask again, oh, but if you add it, isn't your body going to forget how to make it? And I'd say in this kind of instance, if this applies to you at all, your body's already kind of forgot how to make enough, right? So that ship has sailed. What you really want to do is to show it what it's like to have enough so that it gets used to it, starts to like it, and starts to do it, right? That would be how I choose to look at that. The thing with melatonin, by the way, so what I'm about to say, I'm not a medical doctor, you know, you're responsible for your own life, etc. But having said all that, the thing about melatonin is this. Often, especially if you've got serious sleep disturbance, the amount recommended is not enough, right? So some of the actually medical doctors over in the US who work specifically with people who are interested in anti-aging, because melatonin, by the way, if your melatonin is low, then you age much more rapidly. They talk about having even as high as 30 milligrams a day or a night, rather, which is like 10 times the dose of what is normally recommended. So I'd say, you know, barring it, of course, your doctor's opinion, assuming that he is in agreement or she is in agreement, as much melatonin as it takes to help you to sleep about 8 hours a night would be a good idea. And sometimes even melatonin on its own isn't enough, and then you can combine it with L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid. It's in nature, it's in foods, it's naturally high in turkey, dairy, a little bit of pumpkin seeds. But again, it's in fairly negligible qualities and quantities in all food. So tryptophan is a precursor, which means that your body makes melatonin out of it. And if you add that in as well, that's a pretty potent combination that works in 90%+ of cases of people, even with very severe insomnia. Although, as I say, by the way, do not follow that advice if you are speaking, if you have any medical issues or if you're taking any medication in general, but especially if you're on any kind of antidepressants or any kind of SSRIs, because tryptophan plus SSRIs can be a very bad cocktail. So if you want to know more about that film, like I say, you're one of the few people so far I want to reach out to and say, hey, I could help if you like, but we probably need to go into the whole thing a bit deeper together. Great. Another person asks, anonymous, you say to cycle between Sistanch tribulus and horny goatweed. Yes, this would be best. This is, by the way, for hormonal herbs to help them work better, is to cycle between them. What is the best cycle routine you recommend? To be honest, the best one is random, and the best one is like daily. This is like often hard to keep track of, so I don't generally say it, but as you've asked the question, I'll answer it. The best is would be like if you had like a bag of half a dozen hormonal herbs in a bag, and then every day you just did a lucky dip, you pick one out and you just add that one, put it back in, and every day it's just random. That would probably be the lucky dip method would be the best method. Got another question from Sylvia. I have been transitioning. Hi, Sylvia. I've been transitioning to an alkaline diet, following the Dr. Young style, and have been doing well until a couple of months ago, especially with water. Now I have carb cravings that I find really hard to control. Any suggestions on herbs also that could help? I'm taking your immune blend. Thank you. Yes, that is absolutely textbook. In my experience, I've happened to work with a lot of people who have at some point tried Dr. Young's system. By the way, huge respect for Dr. Young, much love, and I've actually interviewed him once and asked him all the tough questions, and his answers to them were very interesting to me. So no disrespect to him. However, I've just noticed a lot of people who do his system do end up with this big struggle with sugar. What I would say is you've got basically two options. You can either go for a more moderate approach, which means still alkalizing, but including some carbs in your meals, which I think Dr. Young certainly used to recommend, even if he doesn't anymore, like maybe cooked good grains like quinoa, root vegetables, you know, something like that, and have those with every meal. That helps to keep carb cravings at bay. Or ultimately, you know, it's really going the whole hog and balancing blood sugar, clearing out all the negative organisms that are probably craving that sugar. And that's something I definitely cannot give you the whole system to in this call. I have got a whole system. It's on a very, very thorough website called Hyatt Health Master Academy, but I can't just give it to you here and now because it's just too involved. Some quick tips, though, because that's what I'm here for. Herbs that could help. Herbs that could help would be strength, because it helps to balance blood sugar. So that's definitely something that you could try. And what also might help is parasite-killing herbs. Now, bear in mind, especially with the latter, so we've got like a parasite cleanse by Health Force Nutritionals. Especially with the latter, there is the chance that you might get some side effects. So, you know, be aware of that one. But those are two things which could well, and I know by practical experience, have helped with that particular issue. Last thing can also be to have fermented foods or drinks every time you have a sugar craving. And like I think Dr. Young recommends, to consume something highly mineralized, like salt, every time you have a sugar craving. And all those things work for some people, so you could try all of them. You know, have the daily multiple, maybe every time you crave sugar, have salt, have some strength tea, have some kombucha, and have meals with complex carbohydrates. Okay, Nick. Nick is saying that he asked the cycle routine. No worries, Nick. Do you recommend xylitol? It's okay. It's like a sugar alcohol. Do I recommend it, as in you must take it, your life will be better? No. as in, do I think it's okay? Yeah, sure. I'd probably prefer Yakon syrup as a low glycemic sweetener, which is probably you're asking. Stevia is even better. Xylitol's okay. I would say it's better than agave and probably honey. Not as good as coconut sugar and Yakon, something like that. But that's my own experience. Everyone is different with sugars, right? So I'd really turn that back to you and say, how does your body feel when you've had it? That's probably the most important question. Siva asks, hi, I've been storing the Health Force Nutritional Cleansing products for more than 9 months now. I'm worried that they might have gone off and wasted my money storing them so long. Because I'm scared of colon cleansing. Do herbs last a long time, or do they go off quick? Thank you. Well, especially if you kept them sealed in that container, that is a very robust container. So no, they should just be just fine in 9 months. I'm probably legally obliged to say to you that you should look at the best before dates, which I think they do have. But between you and I, with that kind of packaging, with, you know, the airtight sealed glass, Myron glass containers, they last pretty well. So no, they should be just fine. Don't worry. If you're scared of doing the colon cleansing, I actually respect that. I think that's fair enough. It is potentially risky. You know, you're not going to die. You're not going to have these things severe happen. But you could possibly feel worse before you feel better. So I say work with someone who knows what they're doing, right? Get someone to support you and help you. That's what people like me are there for. I may well not be the best person to do that with you, but someone out there who is. And I recommend getting some support. Next question. Are you doing any talks up north anytime in the future, e.g. Manchester? I'm not really doing any talks full stop, to be honest, at the moment. I'm really looking at just creating packages and programs and complete solutions and results-based systems for people. And I'm in the process of creating and delivering those right now. At some point, if I ever run out of people who are, you know, very, very hungry to do them with me, then I may well go out there and share the word, and I'm sure I will do. I'm going to be releasing at least one, possibly quite a few books next year to be able to reach a wider audience. I may go on some kind of tour to promote those. But you know what? I really like this live system, like from the comfort of my own home. So I think I'm a little bit like Ricky Gervais sometimes, the comedian, except for I'm not funny, obviously. But other than that, He talks about, like, he only does events if they're in walking distance of his own house. And I guess I'm a little bit like that. I'm being a little bit silly here. The truth is, I love speaking. I love meeting you guys face to face. What I don't like is traveling. I really don't like traveling. I like being in a new place. I say I don't like traveling, but, you know, in next month I'm going to go to, you know, California and then Hawaii and then New York. So actually I'm traveling all over the world again. But I don't like the process of traveling, right? So if I do it, it's going to be for a really, really good reason. So if you would like to, like, set up an event for me in Manchester where, you know, there's a few hundred people showing up who are really, really interested in what I have to offer, then sure, I could do it. But you know what? Like, prioritizing setting all that up is really not where I'm at right now. Although maybe in the future. Lorraine says, hi, Elwin, what's good for asthma, please? Thank you. That's a really great question. I would say, so first of all is breathing practice. That's kind of counterintuitive because when you're asthmatic, it's more difficult, but it's more important. And other than that, I'm afraid there's no, like, I could say also, I guess, one of the kind of top tip thing would be lung herbs, right? Ophiopogon is one of them, O-P-H-I-O-P-O-G-O-N. Astragalus is another one. Asparagus root is another one. And they are all in the immune blend. So the immune blend would be a good one. But you know what, Lorraine, really often asthma is quite a complex chronic issue that has come about as a result of numerous factors, probably the most important being an overloading of toxicity, which then overloads the immune system, which means that then it starts coming up with these kind of responses, probably opportunistic organisms getting in there and feeding on that waste and making things worse, and got a problem with excess of acidity. It's a full-on thing. That's kind of what I'm saying, Lorraine. And I would recommend a full-on program which actually addressed that thoroughly rather than just one product. And again, you know, I'm here to promote Lion Heart Herbs right now, so I'd love to say just take this magic pill and everything will be better. And sometimes that's actually totally the case. But in my experience, asthma is normally something quite serious, quite chronic, with quite deep underlying issues that need to be resolved. Having said that, right, the breathing thing is the most important, right? And that's completely free. You don't have to pay anyone, you don't have to buy anything. So I look at doing breathing practice before anything. Another question from Lorraine, is there anything my daughter can do to help with nut allergies? I would say the answer to that short term is not much, but long term, yes. And it's really the same answer as to your previous question. Allergies are generally rooted in three things. The liver being overloaded, the small intestine being overloaded, and the immune system being overloaded. And generally when we, underload, when we remove that overload and all three of those organ systems, then allergies will start to go away. And that has been my poor experience with myself. But that tends to take a while. And again, not a one-click thing. It's something that takes a long time. By the way, that's a controversial opinion. A medical doctor would say no, that's all. I just know for a fact that you can, because I have helped myself with allergies, right? I've gone from having severe allergies to quite a few things to now only have mild allergies to a couple of things. I've gone from having, you know, severe food intolerances to over 100 things to now having no food intolerances at all. Maybe one, there's a suspicion. But, you know, I've had massive improvement in that area anyway over the course of a couple of years as a result of doing all this stuff that I would recommend to you. So it is possible, but I would say it's not probably going to be easy. It's just going to take time. It's like the asthma or the nut allergy are a symptom of a cause, and the cause would be a depleted, overloaded system. And you can definitely make significant headway with that, but that's really what you would need to do. Mary asks, do you recommend coffee enemas at the end of colonics or separately as an alternative to liver flushes for someone who reacts too strongly to flushes? If not, what else can you advise for a very congested liver? No, I would say not really. It's a really good question, actually, Mary. If you find that you're better off doing a coffee enema than drinking the olive oil or lemon juice thing, then fair enough. I would say do neither. I've spoken to, if you get great results with it, then great, do it. But I've spoken to a lot of people who practice that, a lot of people, clinical hydrotherapists who have done it and have had people do it, and even a lot of people who train people to do it. And I always ask them, does it actually work? And the answer is always, not really, not noticeably. So I'm not a big fan of coffee enemas. Never had anyone who's had major breakthroughs with them. What do I recommend that you do instead? The key, and this is the thing that, like, Andreas Moritz highlights pretty well, but I think not enough people get, so I'm going to highlight it even more than he does it. The key to getting stones out of the liver is to clear the intestines. If you were to thoroughly clear your intestines, like do a full-on intestinal cleanse whilst kind of juice fasting, whilst doing frequent colonics, you know, one of those really intensive ones, you will often release stones spontaneously. Similarly, you could do the whole liver flush spiel while not having cleared your intestines properly before you start and release no stones, right? So as far as I'm concerned, the key factor is clearing out the intestines. And so that's the answer to the question, you know, as far as I'm concerned, right? I would do the thorough clearing out of your intestines as a priority, and then don't worry about the liver and let the liver clear itself out once the intestines are clear. Great question, by the way. I hope that answers it. Anna says, hi, Elwin. I recently saw a video about... hi, Anna, by the way. I know you. Hi, Anna. I probably know all of you, sorry, but Anna is a long-term customer. I recently saw a video about spraying magnesium on. I think he even talked about drinking it diluted. Yeah, sure. Is that something you do or recommend doing? I'm attracted to the video if you haven't heard before. Drinking it. You may be familiar, Anna, with High Energy Academy. I'm sure some of you are members. I talk about having the magnesium chloride to loosen the bowels if you're constipated. And the magnesium oil is just magnesium chloride and water. So, yes, absolutely, I would say you can do that. Definitely. Ron says, are you a raw foodist? I'm considering it, but I'm concerned about lack of protein. Ron, I wouldn't do it through because of lack of protein. If you're going to not do it, I'd say there's many other reasons that are more valid to not do it. Seriously, no, I'm not a raw foodist. Yes, I have been. I was a meticulous raw foodist. I did, like, literally nothing cooked at all for 2.25 years. So I'd say I gave it a good chance, right? Ultimately, I feel that it lacks some stuff. Ultimately, I don't regret doing it either. I'd say it's a really great diet for cleansing you. And it's not the best diet ever for optimal eating, though. What you find is, the main big problem I find of it is that you need carbohydrates. And most people need carbohydrates. Some people are just protein burners and fat burners, and that's fine. But I personally need some carbohydrates. And all the raw carbohydrates are not great. There's the superfoods maybe, like mesquite and stuff. But, you know, mainly the bulk carbohydrate source for most raw foods is fruit, right? Or maybe sprouted raw beans. Both of those are not great for my digestion. Beans are, you know, raw beans are, I find, hard to digest. So I think a lot of people do. Fruits are way too sugary in most cases. So I do a lot better with some cooked carbohydrate. Cooked root vegetables, cooked pulses sometimes, maybe cooked quinoa. So that's the main reason I'm not a raw foodist. I'd say it is great for cleansing you, though. But Ron, I mean, just to answer your question really basically, Ron, you can just buy raw protein powder, right? Get Sun Warrior raw brown rice protein powder, raw chlorella powder, 60% protein. That's a superfood, right? So I could spend a long time saying you don't need as much protein as you think you do and all the rest of it, but I won't bother with any of that. I'll just say, listen, if you feel you do need more protein, you can get it while being raw, right? So that's not an issue. The main reason not to be raw, really, in my opinion, is that it encourages your cells to detoxify too quickly. And if your body is still quite depleted and if your elimination channels are still quite overloaded, that's not great. So I would not recommend going through it overnight unless you are already pretty damn healthy, in which case it's great. Do it. Okay. Sammy asks, what are your personal top five favorite Chinese tonic herbs and why? Great question. That sounds like a Desert Island Discs kind of question, Sammy. I love it. If you were stuck on a desert island, what five herbs would you take with you and why? Okay, so Shazandra has got to be number one, right? Why? Because it's good for everything. And, you know, it's good for the main things which I actually occasionally struggle with, right? It's good for the energy, and I tend to push myself really hard, so that can be an issue. I can end up depleted if I don't watch it. And it's good for the liver, which, as I said, is probably my weakest organ, which is partly genetic. In both my parents, it wasn't very strong. In fact, my mother died of cancer, including cancer of the liver. So, yep, Shazandra. What else? I would go for Shaga. And to be honest, that's like, for all the reasons that one would go for a medicinal mushroom, right? It's great for your immune system. It's also really high in antioxidants, which I'm a big fan of. But the main reason is the taste. It tastes awesome. So, you know, it tastes kind of like caramelly, coffee, spicy kind of flavor. And I love that, you know. I mean, I've been through that phase, as I'm sure, you know, all of you either have or are in, where I just ate every disgusting thing which I thought was good for me. And I do not knock that, right? When you're suffering of ill health, just eat everything that you can. Sorry, not eat everything you can, but, you know, consume whatever is necessary, whether it tastes good or not. Definitely stand by that. However, I'm at the state now where my health is pretty good. And so I don't need to eat disgusting things all day. So, you know, I would personally go for Shaga as my favorite medicinal mushroom for that reason. So that's number two. Number three, God, this is a tricky one for me because I generally tend to go for the blends. I'd go for probably goji berry as well, partly because of the taste again, partly because of the versatility of it, right? I can add that to pretty much anything. Partly because of the yin jing, like it's helping to build up those core reserves again, which is really important to me. And partly because, this just sounds a bit tenuous, but I really feel that goji kind of taps you into like this repository of information, right? It sounds a bit weird, but David Wolf talks about this, and I don't certainly listen to everything Dave says necessarily, but I really, you know, I'm fully in alignment with this one. There's something about goji berry which really taps you into this kind of genetic storehouse of information, understanding, like, a lot about nature, and that's really been my experience. So I would go for it for that reason, probably among more than anything else, but although I realize that's the most tenuous reason. I would go for white atracilodes. I really love that one. Another thing that sometimes I get is, actually I don't really have this anymore. I think these herbs actually resolve this problem, but for a long time anyway, my digestion was like not opposite. I was lacking a little bit fire, like digestive fire, and white atracilode is just great for that. And again, it tastes delicious. White atracilode and shaga is like a really, really nice combination. And then lastly, I would go for, you know what, I mean, I would go for reishi. It's not the best tasting at all, and I rarely have it, so no, I usually have it as part of Serenity. But yeah, I would go for reishi, because that's your, you know, again, good for your immune system, blah, blah, blah. But it's also connecting you with the spiritual part of you. You know, it helps your spirit to be more present in your body. And to me, that's really, you know, amazing. Oh, I'll add a sixth one, polygala as well from Serenity, right, for the exact same reason. So there you go, six. So again, if you're on the phone with us, you are welcome to just press *2, and then I will then we can have a little chat, and I'll answer any questions that you have. But it seems like the vast majority of you want to ask questions anonymously, which I'm happy with, to be honest, because it means I can answer more of your questions. I think I've already answered 50 so far. may have got that wrong, but let's have a look. Maybe 48. So thoroughly enjoying myself. I hope you're enjoying listening too. Please do feel free to carry on adding questions. Jim says, "Hi, Owen. Just noticed and wanted to ask. You seem very sharp and intelligent." Oh, thank you very much, Jim. Flattery will get you everywhere. Have you always been like this, or is this the result of your health transformation? Or can you greatly improve intelligence and memory, and how? My health is okay, but I find my IQ and memory is still quite low. Thank you. Well, you know what? Your IQ and memory probably isn't as low as you think if you're asking that question. Only smart people are interested in getting smarter. Interesting point. Generally, only people who are really very disciplined are interested in learning how to be more disciplined. Only very productive people are interested in learning how to be more productive. So you're probably smarter than you think you are, Jim. However, I will answer your question as is. Yeah, I've always been pretty sharp, and I've always tested pretty well on intelligence. So to be honest, that's something that I've always had. You know, both of my parents were teachers. However, my brain is functioning so much better now than it was before. As I said, I'm doing brain training. I'm actually having my brain, like, literally mapped twice a week at the moment. And it's in a pretty good state. My memory used to be a lot worse. My focus used to be a lot worse. But my ability to control my emotions, you know, used to be terrible. My level of ambition, my level of influence, my level of contribution to the world, all those things which relate to the brain used to be terrible. And they've all got significantly better as a result of practicing all the kind of things that I recommend. So I would definitely talk about that. In terms of improving your brain's central nervous system, Jim, you'd want to look at everything in the Easy Exhaustion Cure and or High Energy Academy. Again, I know I keep referencing those, but they are really my foundational programs. High Energy Academy is really, I'd say, more of an extension and update of Easy Exhaustion Cure, but they're both very, very thorough. And the reason for that is because the brain and the central nervous system relate in Chinese medicine to the kidney organ system. So while I've always been fairly sharp, my mind did used to get tired very quickly and did used to lack focus and memory capacity, right? And so that has got a hell of a lot better as my kidney organ system has got better. Particularly important for that, I would say, in a nutshell for you, I would say would be to look at improving your alkalinity, to look at hydrating your body, to remineralize your body, and to look at essential fats, right? Essential fats are probably the most obvious and most common answer to that question, by the way. Especially krill oil, I would say, EPA and DHA. That's been linked to memory and cognition. And as I say, like when I go and do my brain training, the only thing that they insist that I take is krill oil. They're happy for me to take everything else, but that's the one they insist I take because they say the brain doesn't create new dendrites and new neuronal connections without EPA and DHA. So I would say, like, marine phytoplankton and krill oil will be your number one top, like, easy top tip. And then to work on building your kidney organ system, your yin jing, as they call it in Taoism, using a program like my Easy Exhaustion Cure would be the more thorough and ultimately more effective thing to do. And in fact, the EPA and DHA are just one small part of that program that I'm picking out for you as probably the most crucial. Sandrine asks, is it really an issue if my body pH is about 6.25 to 6.50? And by the way, if anyone else wants to compliment me, like Jim, please feel free. and if anyone else wants to challenge me, then feel free to do that as well. Okay, anyway, let me stop being silly. So Sandrine, is it really an issue if my body pH is about 6.25 to 6.5? Should I stop alcohol until I get it to raise? It depends what you want out of life, Sandrine. If you're interested in having health, good quality health and good quality functioning brain and all the rest of it, then I'd say, yeah, just stop alcohol, full stop, really, to be honest, except for maybe in small doses, maybe, you know, probiotic alcohol, something like that, very pure. But you know what? I mean, any expert on the brain will just tell you very simply, do not drink alcohol. It's a poison. It's a poison to the brain. If you don't care, fair enough. But yeah, I would just say stop drinking alcohol. What else can I say in answer to that question? Is it really an issue with my body pH? I'd also want to know how will you know that your body pH is 6.25 to 6.5. If you're basing that on a first thing in the morning urinary pH, then you know what? It's not that bad. Certainly, it's okay. But I would still say you're going to feel better when you stop drinking alcohol. and when you, once you've detoxified anyway, you can spend a few days feeling worse first or even a few weeks. But once you get that alcohol out of your system, you will feel better. Isla, I don't know how to pronounce that one, says, do you have anything that is useful for removing toxic heavy metals? I'd say yes, absolutely. The answers to that are, number one, definitely Zeaforce. Zeaforce is awesome for that purpose, better than anything else ever, as far as I'm concerned. By the way, if you have the amounts that a doctor would recognize as being a problem, obviously the usual medical disclaimer applies, right? Seek help from your doctor. But assuming your doctor thinks your levels of heavy metals are no big deal, then yes, I would go for Zeaforce. I would go for MSM as well. And people talk about a lot about chlorella and coriander as a combination. I don't think that's nearly as powerful, but you could go for that as an adjunct. And I'd go for fulvic acid. But the main thing I'd go for is that triplicity of Zeoforce, MSM, and fulvic acid. They're the most powerful ones. And in fact, we're going to have a new form of fulvic acid come very soon in the next few weeks. In fact, I'm going to put out an interview about it next Monday, which is just the next level of helping to support your body detoxify heavy metals. So that's coming really soon. But you know what? It's claimed to be the next level, but I still never found anything better than zeolite. So if nothing else, I'd still certainly recommend that you go for zeolite. Nick asks, can we buy Acuranfes as a single herb? I think you can, Nick. I guess I could just check that right now. The only reason that you potentially couldn't, I might have withheld it, is because it is something that you would always add to formulas. However, I think I know which Nick we're talking about, right? And I know you well, and you are someone who can make your own formulas. And if that is the case, then yeah, I'll see if it's available. If not, Nick, can't find it. If not, drop me an email, and I can certainly provide it for you on a kind of bulk basis, cause, you know, half a kilo at a time, something like that. That would be absolutely fine. Let's have a look. Next question. Anonymous, or Jane Doe, should we call it Jane Doe? Jane Doe says, I'm trying to heal myself from interstitial cystitis. I currently eat a high raw alkaline rich diet. Do you recommend any herb supplements advice to help me on my journey? Yes, I'm going to offer you a getting to the root of the problem advice and a instant advice. The instant advice first, I think it's actually something that I don't sell, I don't think. Miraculously, I occasionally do recommend things that are not on the site yet. That's D-Mannose. That's spelled D, letter D, dash, M-A-N-N-O-S-E. And that is basically, it's a type of sugar that is fantastically effective for that purpose. Basically, what it does is what the bacteria in the bladder do, or the urinary tract do, I think it's especially the bladder, is they will hold on to the walls of the bladder because it has the sugar there and they feed on that sugar. If you consume the sugar in the supplement form, they then stop sticking to the wall of the bladder and go into the pool of, you know, urine preparing to be left because it has an abundance of the sugar which they like to eat, after which you can just flush them straight out of your system. Now, the reason I recommend that is because it works. I haven't got it on the site because it doesn't work. It does work. I've had it work with people very close to me, several of them, who have had that problem. So I know for a fact that it works. It works very well. It's very effective. The only thing about it is, as you correctly, it seems, already know, Jane, is that you need to deal with the root of the problem as well, right? It will get rid of the infection, but the infection will just keep coming back. So a high raw alkaline rich diet sounds like a very good idea. I'd also recommend hydrating yourself, right? I'd recommend going for magnesium, especially, and the other electrolytes. I say magnesium because that's the most commonly deficient electrolyte. I would recommend to go for Rejuvenate, as that tonifies the kidneys and bladder. So I'd definitely go for that as well. There's something else I thought of a second ago. What is it? That's kind of seems to be left on that. That's kind of the main thing, right? So make sure that you hydrate yourself. Hydrating minerals, especially the electrolytes, Rejuvenate, and then D-Mannose, and something to really alkalize your system as well. Oh, that's the other thing. Sodium bicarbonate. Again, it's not a supplement I sell. It's something you can just get. I'd recommend getting organic, like aluminium free. In the UK, I get the Dove's brand, for instance, and that will very powerfully alkalize you more quickly than just green juice can do. Although actually, like one person I work with, we've had chronic bladder infections, the D-Mannose worked immediately, and so did the sodium bicarbonate. But the thing that actually helped them long term was to incorporate having a liter of green juice a day, and I'd recommend that as well. And if green juice you have any problems with, you find it too cooling, or you don't like juicing or something, another option would be to have a large amount of water with green barley grass powder in it. That's also pretty powerful. In fact, all of those things would be awesome. I would try all of those things personally. And, you know, again, you know, with the danger of repeating myself, all the information in the Easy Exhausting Cure is like, kidney tonifying, and all of it would be appropriate to help you to resolve the root cause of that particular problem. Charles says, thanks for the answer about the lungs and clearing materials. You're very welcome. Which breathing exercise in particular were you referring to? Thanks again. I have those available, I think, on YouTube. I call it the rejuvenating breath. I think I have me demonstrating it in a very poorly shot video, but nonetheless on YouTube. It's also in the Easy Exhausting Cure. So if you want a written version, you can get the book available from my site or from Amazon, or the whole program, including audio where I kind of talk you through it literally, would be at theeasyexhaustingcure.com. So yeah, there's a free or paid resource to know about that. Yeah, I don't want to trade on that now. And I think probably my live events, which again, you can find free on YouTube. I've taught people through that more than once during those. So those would all be options. But yeah, it's what I call the rejuvenating breath. That's the one that you're looking for. Thank you for the question. Hadley asked me, you talked about something to protect yourself from solar radiation. Would the same things be useful against microwave phone radiation, or is there anything specific that you know of can help with that? Yeah, good question. Yeah, basically the same thing. So omega-3s and antioxidants. I'd also look at, especially for phone radiation, I'd look at earthing, right? I don't sell any earthing stuff on my site, but if you go to aggressivehealth.com.co.uk, something like that in the UK, I think Best Day Ever if you're in the US, Best Day Ever store or something like that. Grounding, anyway, earthing kits, like I talk about in the Easy Exhausting Cure, something which connects you with the electricity of the earth. That's probably the most important thing of all for grounding from phone, Wi-Fi, all that kind of thing. And of course, I'm talking about products now, but I sleep with a grounding sheet on my bed, and I'm very, very happy that I do. In fact, when I have my Apple laptop on me in bed, shock horror, which my wife is never very pleased about, because I'm still typing something, I'm finishing something off. Often when my hands are on the keyboard, she says she can feel the electricity coming from me, the static, and she's right. And then when I touch the grounding sheet, it's diminished by about 90%. You can still feel it, but only very faintly. So that's like an example of it. I could tell you all kinds of anecdotes about actually grounding, but I won't. You can find those in the Easy Exhausting Cure if you're interested in finding out more. But yeah, I would go for something grounding. And then, yeah, antioxidants and omega-3s probably the main factors. Sunny says, do you recommend probiotics, and if so, what kind? The short answer to that is yes. I don't sell any on the site, though, as you may have noticed, and the reason for that is because I think that any probiotics in capsules are just too low doses to really be effective. So the kind that I recommend taking are basically either homemade kombucha or water kefir, because then you can affordably have trillions a day, and that would be what makes a real big difference. And also the extra bonus, what's good about kombucha kefir? A, you get way more organisms, which are more likely to be effective. B, it costs a lot less money to get a lot of organisms. And C, both of those also come with beneficial yeasts, not just beneficial bacteria. So that's why I definitely prefer those, and that's why I don't sell all the probiotic capsules. Again, I may change my mind. I might come across something I think is awesome, but that's where I'm at with that so far. And personally, I have kombucha, kefir, something like that, pretty much every day. I only take it every day. And I don't really bother with the tablets. The only type I sometimes would do is the soil-based organisms, SBOs. I've had those before. But you know what? I didn't notice very much compared to the drinks. Again, I think the drinks are awesome. Next question from, let's call you John Doe this time. John Doe says, hi Owen, for someone with severe constipation for many years and so used to strong laxative, anything you can advise to gradually come off the laxatives? It's going to be me repeating myself again here with the same answer, John, which would be going for the drawing formula and the movement formula to get to the reason why you would be constipated in the first place, to start clearing out that stuck waste. And then in the meantime, magnesium chloride is pretty damn powerful. So even if you want to get off, you know, more, like pharmaceutical laxatives, and you want to use something more natural but still effective, then like magnesium chloride is the most effective laxative that I know. But yeah, if you want to stop using laxatives altogether and just not need them, then I would recommend a thorough intestinal cleanse using those Health Force herbs. again, I'd have my own version if I thought they were necessary, but Hellforce's version is just awesome, so I just recommend theirs. Wow, we've got a load more questions. I've just refreshed the page. So I may like encourage everyone to have a quick little break here while I have a break. Yeah, let's have a break quickly. And then I'll be back. I can see there's still a load of questions. I will answer all of them, as I promised. All right, so I'm here for you. So I'll put you on hold now. You'll hear some kind of hold, kind of elevated music for about a minute or two while I just go and refresh myself. And then I'll be back here. In the meantime, if you do have any questions you still want to ask and you've been kind of not doing so because you've been waiting for, you know, because you don't want to do two things at once, which I respect and appreciate, then now would be a good time to type in those questions while you're waiting for me. So I'll be back in a couple of minutes. See you then. Okay, I'm back. I didn't want it to be a long break because I know you guys will probably not want to be waiting around forever. So let's go straight back into questions. But first, actually, just for a second, let me do a little bit of shameless product placement because it's been 1 hour, 49 minutes, and I haven't really done that yet. No, on a serious note, listen, a lot of the questions you guys have been asking me would actually be seriously helped by my most foundational program and my most accessible thing, and that would be the Easy Exhausting Cure, right? It's available as a book right now on my own website, lionelherbs.com. It's also available from Amazon, if you just prefer to shop at Amazon, amazon.com.co.uk, I believe all the Amazons. So that's a really good, grounding in the foundation of health, right? And I would say in my experience, about 70-80% of problems are resolved just by applying all the recommendations in there. And then if, you know, you still need to do more, then come back to me. And of course, I'll tell you how to get to the next level. But a lot of these questions would just be simply resolved by looking at that basic program. I wonder if anyone actually wants to attest to that. If we've got any Easy Exhausting Cure, not just customers, but people who've actually put the recommendations into practice, right? If anyone wants to share any experience, I'll be happy to read that out. But yeah, that would be my product placement. And if you want a full program with loads of bonuses and where the audio, where I talk you through it, because I actually prefer listening to audio usually than reading. Actually, I'm kind of getting into reading a lot at the moment, maybe because I'm going to be writing soon, but generally I'm more of an audio learner. So if you prefer that, then there's the easyexhaustingcure.com. And that program comes with full money back guarantee. So I guess in a way it costs a little bit more, but it's even less risky. So yeah, that would be my recommendation for a lot of you, just to get the basics on health. Okay. Right. Who do we have next? Jane says, any alternatives to probiotics capsules you can recommend for someone that gets too much gas from using them? Would fermented foods contain enough good bacteria? Yeah, good question. The fermented foods you buy often won't, but the ones you make yourself will have way more than you'll get in any capsules. The gas is really the good guys fighting the bad guys. So I know it's unpleasant and not ideal, but it's not really a sign that there's something wrong, I would say. That is a sign that the bad guys are dying. So don't be too put off by that. But yeah, you'd want to experiment. I would say fermented drinks is the easiest and most effective thing to go for. So that would be my recommendation. Try that next. Water kefir and or kombucha. With both of those, I would say homemade. The key to both of those is you want to make sure they're not sweet. If you do buy them, or I guess if you brew them, it's the same. Do not consume them while sweet. They don't have to be thick and sour like vinegar, but the predominant taste should not be sweetness. The predominant taste should be sourness in both cases, right? With just a hint of sweet, if anything. Next, Andy says, hi, Owen. Would you consider selling larger sizes packets of the Rejuvenate and other formulas as I go through them very fast? That is a very good question, Andy. And yes, I am, in fact, in the process of considering it. I may well do a 250 gram or a 500. In fact, that was going to be one of the questions that I put in the survey to see if there is enough interest in that. So yeah, I am definitely considering that one. Remember though, if you do get through a lot and you just want to have it, you know, in a more economical way, if that's the main thrust of your question, you're welcome to buy them when we have our big sales, right? Which we're going to be having less often, but we're going to have at least four a year still, right? So you can always just stock up when we have the big sale. But I understand what you mean. You know, you don't want to go through loads of little packets unnecessarily. And I definitely, you know, agree with that. And yes, I'm definitely considering that. If anyone else wants to vote right now and tell me that they like the idea of that, then please feel free to do so. Lorraine says, is there anything that either substitutes the pill or something to help for heavy periods? So no, there is no natural healthy contraceptive thing that I know of, you know, other than condoms. All of the other, you know, IUD and the coil, they all have potential severe side effects. Not that I actually should be saying that because it's a medical thing, right? But in my experience, they do. Something to help for heavy periods, though. Yes, I can help you a little bit more with that one. Krill oil in very large dosages is often very effective. Progesterone is often effective. However, I will tell you that you should speak to a doctor about that first, in which case they will probably tell you, no, don't take it. So that's a bit of a tricky one. you really probably will ideally want to be speaking with a doctor who specializes in something called bioidentical hormones, and then they will tell you that, yes, you can take it, and then that's very helpful. And lastly, the cleanse herbal formula, and two of the ingredients in it, particularly dangui, or angelica, actually, I think I call it on the site, angelica and white peony are both excellent herbs for helping to reduce heavy periods. And then if you do have heavy periods, Lorraine, which is not a given because you're saying maybe the pill works for that, but if you do, iron supplementation is often a good idea, as is manganese. And if you're not sure about that, then and you don't want to without being sure, then fair enough. I'd advise a mineral analysis to see if that would be necessary. But it quite often can be. So, yeah, high dose to krill oil, progesterone cream, assuming that you can find a doctor who agrees with it, and dangui and angelica, either on their own or as part of the cleanse formula, are all potentially effective for that. But, again, it is a sign of a more, what's the word, systemic issue, probably, and so you're also going to want to look at the underlying issue ultimately, which is going to be, you know, an imbalance of hormones in general, which usually ultimately relates back to stress and toxicity, right? And they will be the things that you really need to resolve. Jane Doe, let's call it this time, another anonymous person. Jane says, hi, I'm going through a breakup after almost 20 years. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it's, you know, it's a liberation for you. What is the best way to keep myself balanced and not crying so much? Please help. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, the first thing I'll say to that is crying in itself is not necessarily bad, you know? That's your process of letting go, grieving, moving on. I wouldn't be wanting to stifle the crying. If it comes up, like, during unhelpful times, like when you're trying to negotiate a contract or something, then I understand you don't want that, but I wouldn't be against, I would encourage you to be willing to embrace the process of grieving and crying per se. Having said all that, you know, understanding that it's a natural part of the process, I would definitely recommend breathing practices, the rejuvenating breath, as outlined in the Easy Exhaustion Cure and the various other places that I talked about earlier, is definitely an awesome thing for keeping yourself balanced and centered and feeling good about yourself. And so that would be really awesome. However, that could make you cry more initially, because what the Taoist would say is that, and what I found in practice is that tears and sorrow and grief is stored in the lungs. And so the more you encourage yourself to breathe freely, the more that you might find that releasing. But again, I would encourage you to see that as a good thing. I would definitely go for the serenity herbs as well, in terms of keeping balanced and feeling good about life. They're famous for that. There's one particular ingredient in that, albizia, which is actually especially for grief and loss. So that would be really awesome as well. I would recommend going for, if you haven't mentioned the word depression here, but if you actually feel that maybe you might start to get listless and depressed and, you know, life isn't worth living and all that kind of stuff, I'd recommend ask help, you know, ask for help. I personally work with quite a few people with depression, and you know, just having someone there for you who understands, but who doesn't just reinforce your story, who encourages you to see things from an empowered perspective, who encourages you to realize all the opportunities that you have available to you, all the gifts that you have, all that kind of thing, and then reminds you of that consistently and sees you as the person that you're capable of being. That's really powerful, you know. I mean, often referred to as coaching. That could be really awesome. Well, that would be really awesome. It's really more of a question if that's something that you could do. What else? And I guess on the practical level, again, like if you just want something to keep yourself focused at work, stuff like that, try taking L-tyrosine in the morning. That increases your neurotransmitter dopamine, which is your kind of success motivation kind of neurotransmitter. So just to get you through the day. I would still encourage to, you know, let go of these feelings and release and the attachment and to be free, right? That's the way I'd see encourage you to see it. Every crying or grief is releasing attachment and freeing yourself, which then prepares you for something even better, which I know is on the way for you. Okay, so always remember that, right? It's never the start. It's never the end of something. It's always the beginning, right? Ron says, which blends are good for the teeth and gums? Well, blends would be Rejuvenate, and specifically a herb would be horsetail, right? In terms of other stuff, vitamin D3 and K2 is important for the teeth, and as is proper mineralization, especially of magnesium, so a calcium-magnesium blend would be pretty good as well. And then generally keeping yourself alkaline is important for the teeth and gums. So those would be all the main factors that I'd encourage you to look at. Whew, catch my breath there. Quick sip. You guys are awesome. I'm very, very happy to be able to answer all these questions for you. Let's see. Going back to your earlier mentioning, this is another John Doe. How does one do the best liver cleanse, and what should one do to alleviate unpleasant side effects? That is not something I'm going to train you about here, anonymous person, because I believe it requires, you know, extensive amounts of preparation, like being familiar with the kind of stuff that I cover in the Easy Exhausting Cure, and then a fairly detailed training. It is something that I have available, Health Mastery Academy. If you go to elwynrobinson.com and click on membership, I think, then there is that. But yeah, that's not something that I can just tell you here and now, unfortunately. Other people obviously do offer to do that. I would be reticent to sign up with anyone who tells you it's easy and don't worry about it, because my experience is that it's not, and there are potential side effects. But yeah, I'm doing my best to give you guys everything that I can, right, just here and now. But that is something that you want to go through thoroughly, and that's something that I would recommend that you either, you know, apply to work with me or you join in one of the trainings where we teach you how to do that. Barry says, Elwyn, I had amazing results with coffee enemas. Ability to walk and pain relief when a medical bin bought me time to get into this stuff. Awesome. Okay, great. That's some good feedback from someone, and that they actually work. That's wonderful. My question to you still, Mary, would be, would it have been any less effective if you'd done water enemas? But you know what? I'm happy to hear that it has helped for some people. Next person. Anonymous again. What are your thoughts on taking oxy powder for cleansing intestines? They're okay. I think it's just magnesium oxide, right? I believe magnesium chloride is certainly more powerful. But it's okay, yeah. I would just put it in the class of weak, like not that effective. But if you enjoy it, it's certainly not damaging either. So, yeah, go for it. Next anonymous person. Oh, we've got so many anonymous people here. What's your advice for someone who can't really digest raw foods and veggies, fruits, and gets lots of gas even with raw veggie juices? Can you get enough nutrition from veggie soups? Yeah, absolutely. Of course you can. My advice to you would be to consume lots of superfoods, like the super greens, if you can digest that. Lots of sea vegetables, blended if necessary to make them easier to digest, to get lots of nutrition. And to take supplementation, especially daily multiple, right? It's just clear, liquid, seaweed, so it's kind of food-based, very thorough, has all the major vitamins you need in decent quantities. So, yeah, I'd go for something like daily multiple, definitely. And yeah, so that's kind of, I assume that's what you mean by nutrition. In terms of macronutrients, you probably already know, right? Coconut oil is my favorite source of fat, probably. You know, you can get some kind of any kind of protein supplement if you feel like you need it, maybe. But yeah, I think you're talking about how to get enough, you know, vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients and stuff. So yeah, I would go for sea vegetables. They tend to be easy to digest while being very, very nutrient dense. Next question. By the way, I could say with every person, awesome question, and I'm not, just because I don't want to repeat myself like 70 times during this call, but they are all awesome questions, and I do really appreciate them, and I really appreciate you. Thank you for caring about your health and for asking these questions, because you know what? You're getting the benefit of the answer, but I'm going to put the recording up. I'm probably going to promote it again, and so many other people over the months and who knows, maybe years and decades are going to get the benefit of you having asked that question. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Some person says, I think I know who this is. Your dendrobium used to taste delicious. Now it tastes pretty foul. Sorry, they said harsh. What's up? What's up is that what we are selling here are herbs, right? And what we are selling here are fresh herbs, even. Relatively, anyway. So the herbs from the Align Hot Herbs own brand are extracted fresh to order. So literally, I send an order to the guy. He goes and finds the herbs fresh, he dries them, extracts them, processes them, and then sends them over to me, right? So that's how fresh we're having. Now, as a result of that, there is going to be understandable seasonal, regional, and, you know, even every plant is different variations, right? So one batch may be more taste like this, one batch may be more taste like that. The thing to be really clear on is that it's irrelevant to the potency, right? Though, you know, they're not standardized to taste. They could be, but that isn't why you're buying them, presumably, right? You're not like, oh, I'm going to spend like, you know, £20 or £30 or whatever on dendrobium because I love the taste so much. No, no, you're getting it for the beneficial health effects, right? And so that's what they are standardized for, to contain a certain amount of alkaloids and various polysaccharides and triterpenes, right, which are meticulously measured every time. And the company I use uses something called FITT analysis, where they actually measure the electronic signature of the end product to make sure it has the right levels or the right stuff. So we're very meticulous about that. We don't care about the taste, really, to be honest with you. So, yeah, it's seasonal, regional, time-based variation. You know, every plant is different. Every batch of plants is different. And every crop of plants is different. But what is going to be the same is the effectiveness, which is really what you want, right? Having said that, I understand that it's annoying because, as I say, taste matters to me too. It's annoying if it doesn't taste as good, but it's not the main factor, right? So I appeal to you to just ignore that, add a bit more stevia and lemon juice maybe and get it down you if it's something that's good for you. Okay, Hadil says, hi, Elwin. I'm not sure if this has been asked because I dropped out of the call for a while. Okay, no worries. I believe that you are in another country, Hadil. I'm familiar with you, so I understand the Skype is not the most reliable thing in the world. I wanted you to know, how do you prepare yourself for a juice fast? Oh, God. How do I prepare myself for a juice fast? Well, I would really recommend doing everything else which I recommend before you do a juice fast, personally. I think juice fasts, even more than raw food, encourage massively fast-tracked cellular detoxification, which is a really, really bad idea if your exit pathways aren't clear. So how would I encourage everyone to prepare? To really build up your body first. Make sure you're not depleted. Make sure you're not depleted. Make sure you're not stressed. Follow all the advice in the Exhaustion Cure High Energy Academy, right? Then cleanse your body pretty thoroughly as well. Make sure your exit pathways are thoroughly clear. And probably clear out your major organs, like the small intestines, like we've talked about already a few times. And only then, once you've done all that, would I move on to doing a juice fast personally. Now, I know you probably, I'm sure you can find an example of someone who didn't do any of that and still felt okay. And they are going to be people who are healthy. Right? But if you're in this because you're not healthy and you're already not feeling great, just living your normal life, the chances are you're going to feel worse if you just choose to juice fast without doing the proper preparation. Nick asks, do you think there is a correlation between having a diet of tonic herbs and high nutrient density foods and the ability to live your soul life purpose? Yes, I would say correlation, not causation, Nick. Absolutely. I would say, you know, you can eat all the superfoods in the world that you're not necessarily going to live your life's sole purpose. But I'd say tonic herbs and high nutrient density foods are fuel for that kind of life, right? That's basically the way of looking at it. They help it and they facilitate it, but they are not necessarily going to lead to it on its own. However, they can do. You know, a lot of the time, any reason that the person that you know listening right now are not connected to your highest purpose is just because you're so depleted, you're just trying to get by. Screw your highest purpose, right? It's like, how am I going to get through this day, week, month? So yeah, there can be a definite correlation, Nick. Absolutely. Ron says, you mentioned inherited genetics. Do you believe that taking the herbs are effective at turning off or negating these weak inherited genes? I do, yeah. And there is some preliminary research and evidence to point that that is in fact the case, right? It's a very new field of genetics, right? It's called epigenetics. I do, definitely. And I think there's going to be a lot more research to prove that soon enough. Another anonymous person says, what can I do for better absorption of water? When I try to drink more than 1.5 liters a day, it's difficult because I have to keep going to the loo. Well, a lot of what we do in coaching is to look at people's presuppositions or assumptions that are holding them back. So I'd ask you there, Anonymous, what's the presupposition that you have there? And the presupposition which I'm seeing is that going to the toilet often is a bad thing, right? A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to drink more water because when I do, it just goes straight through me. And I say, oh, interesting. So you'd be happy to drink what came out the other end as what you first drank, would you? Like, well, no. Why not? Well, you know, it's dirty. Oh, really? Right? The point is, what's come out the other end is not the same. It's the water you drank plus a load of stuff that you don't want, right? So there is a value of drinking more water, even if it does appear to just go straight through you, because it's taking some bad stuff along the way. And the more bad stuff you get out of your body, generally, obviously, within sensible limits, but generally, the more bad stuff you get out of your body, especially the more stuff you get out, rather than just shake loose, right? The problem with, say, juice fasting is just shaking a lot of toxicity loose. It's not necessarily helping it leave the body. But the more toxicity you actually support in leaving the body, the better off you are, right? So there we go. Having said that, having dealt with that presupposition, generally, if you are peeing very frequently, that's, and by the way, I used to have that so badly. I know that's like, I used to pee dozens of times a day. That's a sign that your bladder is not happy, and usually it's a sign that you're deficient in magnesium, and it's probably a sign that you have a lot of fear or stress or anxiety in your life, and so all the usual recommendations I've repeated again and again here would be applicable to that, right? Easy Exhaustion Cure, High Energy Academy, with a special emphasis on stress reduction, on magnesium oil, which you can actually rub on the area of the bladder, right? Although I'd recommend just applying it generally for the appropriate result, and just not worrying about it if you go to the toilet more often. It's good, don't worry. Another question, what do you recommend to reduce anxiety? I find I hold anxiety in my body and I'm not very often aware of it. My answer to that is going to be too long to be included in here, okay? Again, the Easy Exhaustion Cure could very easily have been called the Easy Anxiety Cure. And in fact, if I wasn't the kind of person who always does too many projects at once, one of my projects was going to be to re-release the Easy Exhaustion Cure as the Easy Anxiety Cure and just change about 2% of the content, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's generally chronic tension, stress, and anxiety, which leads to exhaustion. So you may not be exhausted yet, but everything that is exhausting cure will be totally applicable to you. So that's what I would encourage. Anonymous says, I keep getting throat trouble if I have something cold or when I have something sour like lemon. Okay. I've had that for many years and I'm getting a lot of phlegm in my chest. What can I do to help with this? Well, again, the usual thing about the doctor, right? Medical conditions. The sour thing has kind of piqued my curiosity. That's interesting. Anything cold? Oh, yeah, I guess lemon has got a very cold energy anyway. So, okay. To be honest, I'm not sure about that. That's got to be some complex issue. I would suggest it's probably got something to do with your thyroid, which is often a minefield in terms of, like, sorting it out and understanding it. Don't get me wrong, it's not life-threatening. There's nothing particularly bad. I'm just saying it's often complicated to work out and work through. So I'm not going to give advice on that particularly. However, I just point the direction in the thyroid as being something you want to look at. And again, you can always contact me to see if you want to work with me, if you want my particular help with that one. But I realize I haven't given you much there because I don't know. I'd need to know a lot more about you, which we're not going to cover here. Next says, what can I do for graying hair? Well, I hate to repeat myself ad nauseum, but all the advice in the easy exhaustion cure. You know, I've had a couple of people come back to me and said, oh, I took Hoshi Wu and my hair didn't stop being gray. And I said, okay, fair enough. Did you do everything else to tonify your kidneys? Did you do everything else to build up your depleted reserves and reduce your stress and anxiety? No. Well, there you go then, you know. So, I know I put in a video for Hoshi Wu that, you know, it's traditionally used for that. However, I would say there's a lot more to it, especially in this day and age, usually, right? So, yes, Hoshi Wu is the most famous thing for that type of herb. But I would say really it's about dealing with the whole issue of being depleted. By the way, maybe you're someone who doesn't feel depleted at all. You've never been exhausted and you're just getting older. But again, then that's still a form of depletion. Right, that's still a form of you're running out of steam. And so to delay that happening, because you can never ultimately prevent it, but to delay it, we're talking about the kind of strategy outlining the easy exhaustion cure again. By the way, I wasn't really planning for this to be like a easy exhaustion cure pitch fest. It's just my response to these questions, right? That is generally what I would do. And the wonderful thing about creating all these programs, this is why I said earlier that I'm kind of in the middle of creating programs rather than you know, speaking or touring, speaking or whatever, is because I really want there to be complete solutions to everything that, you know, I can possibly help with out there and available easily, right? Like if I, you know, we're talking group here, it's free, right? But if I had to talk to each of you guys one-to-one to explain what to do, there's like 5 hours of audios in Easy Exhaustion Cure. These days, that would go for like, easily, you'd have to pay me a lot of money for that, you know, without being funny about it, it'd probably be thousands of dollars. Or you can just pick up the book for $20 and it's got it all covered there. Because I'm not looking to try and get any money out of anyone who doesn't have it to spare, right? So I want all the advice to be out there and available to you. And I want to be able to point you in the right direction. It just so happens that a lot of people today, and I think it's quite common that I attract the kind of people who have the issues which I specialize in, why not, right? Would really benefit from the easy exhaustion cure. So that's my top tip for the day. Even though I hadn't planned to promote it. Heraclea, I believe, would be a way of pronouncing it. Do you think iodine and kelp supplementation can substitute the need for thyroid ERFA? I live in Greece and must go to Brussels to buy this brand. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, thyroid is a medical issue, so legally I can't really talk about it. However, having said that, I'm just going to look up that subject if I can, because I haven't heard of the... Okay, it's a drug. It's a pharmaceutical drug. So I cannot comment on pharmaceutical drugs. However, if that is a thyroid glandular, which is what I'm suspecting, the short answer to that would be no. iodine and kelp does not replace a thyroid glandular, unfortunately. If you are needing thyroid glandulars, or at least if you are taking them, then I would recommend looking at everything else in the Easy Exhaustion Cure first before trying to address that thing with the thyroid. And then the only thing you want to be aware of is to have your thyroid check frequently and make sure that you don't, because you may well end up needing less than you needed before, right? So in that case, you do need to check in with your doctor about that. Same person also says, Sorry, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce your name. If we ever meet, I'm sure you'll tell me. 2 years ago, I started a BHRT program with hydrocortisone, thyroid, ERFA, progesterone, testosterone, zinc, selenium, iron, and the usual female hormones. It helped a lot, but I can't find thyroid ERFA here. Is it okay to take cortisone without thyroid ERFA? Okay, again, way, way outside of what I'm legally allowed to talk about. I could actually speculate about that with you because I have some idea, but just cannot talk about it. And I would suggest if you found something that's working for you, then, you know, stick with that, even if it does involve shipping in from a different country, right? So sorry, I can't help more with that, but that those things are clearly in the realm of medication. Most of the things you mentioned there are things that you need a medical license to prescribe to people, right? So I cannot comment on them. Sammy says, what other herbs are good to blend with your pearl extract? I don't think it tastes too nice on its own. Good question, Sammy. Well, pearl is a Shen tonic herb, so it goes nicely with serenity. It's also traditionally combined with goji berry for beauty, so that's a way of making it taste better. So yeah, if you're using it mainly for the calming purposes, I'd say serenity. And if you're using it more for the beauty purposes, I'd say goji berry. How about that for a short answer? And then maybe just up your stevia as well to neutralize any kind of other taste. Anonymous, Jane Doe. I have found coffee helpful to relieve asthma, but is it bad for exhausted adrenals? The answer is definitely yes. And if it's to relieve asthma, I'd say it's only really temporarily relieving it. Well, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I'd say it's probably only temporarily relieving it because when you get an adrenal high, all symptoms go down a bit. Because when your body thinks it has to fight or fly to survive, it doesn't mess about with having asthma. And then once the adrenal stimulant wears off, it kind of shows up again. So I'd say that's a very, very, that's a strategy that doesn't have any long-term value, unfortunately. And yes, it's not good for exhausted adrenals, definitely not. Jane Doe says about the cystitis. For 3 years, I suffered from bladder infection. Now, every 3 to 6 months, for the last 2.5 years, I have an irritated bladder. Okay. There is no bacteria, but pain like an infection. I've gone from 2 to 3 flare-ups a month to have a flare-up every 2 to 4 months, which lasts about 2 weeks. Okay. D-mannose didn't really help. Okay, fair enough. I'm currently taking Cleanse, Rejuvenate, and Serenity. Have a high raw diet and have been following these exhausting for 3 months. I am missing something. Okay, great. You're already doing the basics. I'm desperate to not have this to be so present in my life. Thank you. Okay, so what I would suggest then is you are probably still just too acidic despite all your very good efforts. And so what I would do is I would encourage you to measure your urinary pH and then maybe get back to me about that. First thing in the morning, right, is the one you really want to know. Although throughout the day may be useful for you, given what you shared. And then you want to start taking sodium bicarbonate in quantities to actually deal with that, assuming that everything else in the easy exhaustion cure isn't working. Because that's one of the things I added to High Energy Academy that's not an easy exhaustion cure, is that if your acidity issue is so chronic that even all of that stuff doesn't make enough of a difference, it's obviously better, right? You said it, you know, it's gone from being every 2 weeks to every 2 to 4 months, is that right? Something like that, yeah, so that's better. But yeah, obviously you're still suffering, so to push it to the next level, I'd say take sodium bicarbonate enough to really alkalize fully, right, as well as everything else, as well as having over a liter of green juice and et cetera, everything else that we talk about. That's really the only extra recommendation I'll make for you. Again, it is a medical issue, so all these things have to be run past your doctor, right? But between you and I, that is what I would recommend. If I were you, that's what I would do to get to the next level. Hadil also asked, can we have access to this call after it's over? The answer is yes, absolutely. It will go on the Lionheart Herbs blog. Andy says, do you sell water kefir? No, I probably should, considering how enthusiastic I am about it. But I leave that to the experts, because I don't really want to have a kefir farm in my place. I bought mine from eBay before. So probably some member on this community, Andy, who has some to spare, because it just grows and grows and grows once you have it. So if anyone has some kefir grains that they want to send to Andy, let me know. And Andy, if you want to give your contact details, and I'll hook you up with that person. And if you can't find anyone, if we don't find anyone, Andy, eBay for about £5 is where I got mine from. Water kefir grains, perfectly decent. You can even specify organic ones there, I think. So that's where I went. Mary says, tried water enema and other types, absolutely no comparison. Okay, fair enough. So Mary is one vote for coffee enemas. Fair enough. Awesome. I'm glad that they work for you. Nick says, how did you learn all your amazing information? Is there a course you'd recommend to become qualified to consult like you do? Yeah, kind of, Nick. I'm in the process of doing it now. At the moment, like, I don't certify people. I don't, not just because I don't really, you know, have like any governing body over me, but even if I were given like 5 honorary degrees, I still wouldn't do it, because to me it feels like I don't really want to work with people who feel like they need to hide behind a title, right? I want to work with people who, where competence and results are the key things that they are focused on. And luckily I already have a great bunch of people, a couple of whom have been on the call with us, who I've been, you know, mentioning, who absolutely, I do train in this. So right now we're not opening enrollment for the how to train, Nick, that's currently closed. But in terms of having a thorough understanding of a system that works, you know, for that I've got High Energy Academy, which then leads on to Health Mastery Academy. That pretty much covers most of what I'm talking about here. And yeah, if you want to, just a kind of a student for that today, funnily enough, who's working with me in mastering that, and then she's going to move on to learning how to coach and train people and get clients later. So I prefer to do those one at a time. So Nick, if you want to learn how to ultimately do that, then I would suggest contact me, and we would start by really having you learn and master all the context, all the content of High Energy Academy and Health Mastery Academy. And I'd love for you to do that. It'd be great. Mary says, only one exception to coffee enema. If gallstones are stuck or dealing with ultra-serious backup of bile, if you can talk about dissolving stones for someone who cannot do either surgery or flushing. Yeah, I think I already have done. It's cleanse tea for the fat stones, but you're probably talking about the calcified stones, and yeah, the triumvirate for that is fulvic acid, Zeoforce, and MSM. And obviously you would want to start off lightly. Well, if you know about those, then you know that obviously you want to start off with low doses of those, but for that to be effective for that, you would probably want to move on to high dosage. What do you recommend for a parasite cleanse? I would recommend do everything else before you do a parasite cleanse. Candy floss guy, because if you do a parasite cleanse before your body is really ready, they tend to not like it, and they tend to make your life miserable. So really do everything else first. I do have a training for it. It's in Health Mastery Academy, but it's literally the last video, it's the last part of the training of like the second part of my training, right? It's the last thing I teach people, because again, my experience has been that 99% of people who try these parasite cleanses don't get long-lasting benefit, because either they challenge the parasites too much, in which case they get a flare-up of some sort of problem, or they just don't challenge the parasites enough, in which case it's a waste of time, and as they stop whatever they're doing, the problem comes right back again, okay? So, yes, I do recommend doing one, but no, I don't recommend doing one until you're prepared. And no, I don't want to share my system out here. I know it's kind of silly because other people have their systems out there. And so part of me thinks, oh, well, you know, people are going to go and they're going to learn it from someone else, so I don't share it. But that's their business and that's your business. You know, it's fine if other people are sharing it, not properly preparing people and not properly explaining that there's all this kind of stuff that you need to do first in order for it to be effective. But I've got to be integrity with myself and say to you, hey, listen, it's, you know, you need to do it properly. Otherwise, it is a waste of time at best. So the lovely Mary, I'm calling her lovely because she keeps sending little comments. The lovely Mary says, Elwyn, I've achieved many miracles way beyond what docs can offer or others can advise. But hearing you here, I really want to work with you. Impressive. Awesome. Thank you very much. Again, that wasn't necessarily the point of the call. It was more about Lionheart Herbs. But if that, you know, is the case, then that's great. I guess I should do a little placement then, shouldn't I? I don't work doing one-on-one consultations with people anymore, because I really only like working with people with results-based packages, right, where you are committed to a result, and then I work with you until you get there. However, I am offering those results-based packages currently. So if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about that or applying to work with me, you can go to www.elwynrobinson.com/results-coaching, and it explains to you how the whole thing works. If you're interested, that's basically what you do. Everything else is explained there. And that's it, I guess. www.elwynrobinson.com/results-coaching to find out more about working with me, if you should be interested in doing so. But just fair warning, I don't work with just anyone. I only work with people who already have some grasp of the basics of health, right? I only work like yourself, Mary. I only work with people who feel responsible for their own lives, not people who blame, complain, and make excuses, right? And I work with people usually, though I make exceptions to this, but usually I work with people who are really committed to making the world a better place in some way, right? So people who, even if they may not know how yet, even if it has nothing to do with health, that's the kind of person who I like to work with, and that's the kind of person who I feel gets the best results. But if all of that sounds like you, then you're very welcome to apply at elwynrobinson.com/results-coaching. Or is it results or result? Results coaching, yeah. Ellie says, what are your thoughts on urine therapy? My thoughts are, you know what, Ellie, I've never tried it. I've had some people who've told me it's awesome and amazing. I haven't researched it that much, so I guess I can give you my thoughts, but I can't really give you anything very helpful. I haven't done it, and I guess, you know, if you want to do it, go for it. It's just not my cup of tea, let's put it that way. Another question. Leg ulcers, would you use magnesium for them? That's a good question. Not on the area, because it's probably going to burn. Assuming you're talking about like an open ulcer, I would definitely recommend, not just for legal purposes, but, you know, for practical purposes, to ask a doctor about that before you did something like that. With ulcers, I mean, you're talking about fairly severe toxicity and acidity and inflammatory kind of issues bound together quite often with some kind of organism. So again, we're really looking at no quick fix. There probably are herbs which would give some instant relief, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. If you email me, I may be able to get back to you about that later. But we're really looking at, you know, you've probably got a chronic systemic thing going on which you need to address. And that's really what I'd recommend for you to do. Hadil says, you said you were strictly raw vegan for 2 years. I did. Has this impacted your dental health in any way? Yeah, it made it better. I wasn't actually strictly vegan. I may have taken krill oil during part of that time, and polyrachis ant, right, which is a Chinese tonic herb. It's basically, yeah, it's the insect. So I don't think I said I was strictly vegan, but yeah, I was strictly raw. And yeah, no, it got better. I mean, my dental health used to be appalling. I mean, I used to smoke and eat sugar all day and drink coffee and come from a very depleted genetic family and have lots of stress. So yeah, my dental health was pretty appalling. I would say I haven't had teeth regrow or anything. What I basically had is the dental problems stop. So like, nothing's got better, nothing's got worse for the period of about 5 years now. And before that, it was just rapidly going downhill. So I can't claim any great miraculous recovery, but I also can say that nothing has got worse in all that time since I've been following this advice for health, like I've laid out for you. Isla or Isla, not sure about that, asks, apart from pearl, what other herbs are used for beautifying? Great question. Definitely Schizandra. That would be another top beauty herb. And really anything which is cleansing, Isla, because it's generally beauty is, you know, a lot about the skin, right? And it's a lot about the eyes. And so both of those are helped by cleansing. So I'd say, yeah, in terms of herbs, cleansing herbs, right? Like the cleanse formula, that would be the main thing, which includes Schizandra. The only reason that pearl isn't in the cleanse is for the same reason I don't put any of the animal herbs and or what's the correct term? I don't put any non-vegan herbs in any of my blends because I do have a lot of vegan customers. I want to respect them and respect that. I guess hormonal herbs, if the you know the beauty is maybe a lack of hormones, that's possible as well. But it doesn't like so that, but that would be more like sexual magnetism, stuff like that. But yeah, in terms of just like beauty, I think it's main, you know, your bone structure is your bone structure is fairly set, although especially if you're still in your, you know, your 20s, it's got some variability. But what isn't set is the way that you use your muscles of your face and your body. What isn't set is how clear your skin is. What isn't set is how clear your eyes are, right, and how shiny your hair is. And all that thing, all that kind of stuff is generally benefited by cleansing when it comes to herbs. I'd say also actually think of hair and stuff like that. Rejuvenate would be the other kind of class of herbs, gene herbs. In terms of minerals, you asked herbs, but minerals, sulfur and like in MSM, it's probably the main beauty herb. That's good for your skin, hair, nails, eyes, everything, in fact, that we mentioned. Silica would probably be second place, and they would be like your top beauty minerals as well. And in fact, yeah, herb for silica would be horsetail. So there you go. There's another herb, and that one is, in fact, in rejuvenate. So rejuvenate and cleanse would be like the most, what's the word, all-in-one solutions for that one. Okay. Tanya says, hello, Owen. What is the best, healthiest way to get myself going in the morning without coffee? Tyrosine, in a nutshell. Like the best long-term way is like, to repeat myself for the 50th time, to really deal with all the chronic issues which make you low in energy, right? But if you want an instant, quick fix thing to replace coffee with, tyrosine. 1 teaspoon of L-tyrosine, for instance. 1 teaspoon might actually be too much. Some people even use as much as a tablespoon, which I wouldn't recommend for very long, but if it's just for a few days to get you off the coffee, even that much could be okay. And basically it's a precursor for dopamine, which is the main way that coffee works as well. But while coffee drains you of neurotransmitters like dopamine, L-tyrosine gives you the building blocks to make a neurotransmitter like dopamine. So yeah, go for L-tyrosine. Also, is it possible to experience high energy without regular exercise? Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, probably higher than what you're experiencing right now. But I would say that regular exercise is part of a high energy routine, but it doesn't necessarily have to be active exercise. So she says to explain, I've managed to get my energy to average level, but not a high level. I dislike exercise a lot, so I avoid it as much as possible. But I'm guessing I don't have high energy because I don't exercise. Well, it may be other issues, to be fair to you, Tanya. It may be the reason you don't like exercising is because exercise creates more acidity in your body, and more acidity makes you feel worse. So I wouldn't be beating yourself up about that just yet. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if you're doing the Exhausting Cure High Energy Academy, or if you are, if there's any part of it you're not practicing or what. But yeah, I would certainly recommend those, you know, if you're not doing them already. If you dislike exercise like running, for instance, then maybe, you know, realize that yoga or Qigong, which is very, very gentle, would be a totally acceptable alternative. And if you ask me, is it possible to do, you know, just yoga and or Qigong several times a week and not do any other kind of exercise and be have ING, I'd say the answer to that is yes. So maybe that's another angle to look at it from. Qi, I think it's Qi, K-I, maybe Qi, says, do you recommend turmeric as an antioxidant or as a herb for detoxifying? Oh, yeah, good point, actually. Yeah, I love turmeric. Yes, absolutely, I do. It's not the first thing that comes to my mind for some reason, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. I don't think it's much of a detoxifier. I could be wrong about that. I guess because it's sulfurous, it is a bit. But as an antioxidant, definitely, yes. Anonymous says, leg ulcers respond extremely well to Manuka honey. Okay. Okay. Well, in that case, that would indicate to me that there's going to be a infectious factor in there. And in that case, the immunity may well help as well. I would still say look at the underlying root causes. that's probably going to be the theme of this call and probably every call. But yeah, great. Okay, I'm glad that helps. Something else that could help then, potentially, if it is an infection, which Manuka honey would indicate, would be to put a zapper next to the ulcer. like a Terminator 2 zapper. That's really powerful at killing infectious agents locally, like with something like an ulcer. It may make it feel worse initially, but I swear by zappers. I saved my foot using a zapper, so I'm a big fan of them. So that would be another kind of instant thing you could try. My thoughts on colostrum I've already shared, Hadil, which is the next question. Basically, haven't really found it to be worthwhile. Don't have anything particularly against it. Jen says, how would I take sodium bicarbonate? Would I mix it with water? How much? How often? Thank you so much for this call. I'm really enjoying it. You're such a gift. You're very welcome. I'm not going into how-tos generally with this because we don't have time. But you know what, Jen? The answer to that is so simple. I'm going to give it to you. I would recommend 1 teaspoon in a decent amount of water first thing in the morning. If you're doing the exhaustion cure, you're probably doing water first thing in the morning anyway. So do that. If that doesn't make a significant difference and your pH still doesn't go to the right amount, then try adding another teaspoon at some other point in the day, preferably on an empty stomach, so say an hour before your next meal, an hour before or just before bedtime, assuming you haven't eaten for a few hours. The only reason I didn't want to say that, otherwise I would have told you in the first place, is there are potential dangers with that, right? That is a lot of sodium. The amount required sometimes to alkalize is a lot of sodium. If you already have high blood pressure, that's a potential issue, right? So do run all these things past a doctor or someone who knows what they're talking about one-on-one, who knows your particular unique situation. The short answer, probably 1 teaspoon first thing in the morning in water. That's probably going to be safe for the majority of people. But be safe, right, rather than sorry. And then you can quite possibly and will quite possibly need more, so you can have more. Anonymous says, does Mucuna work as well as tyrosine for added energy or your strength formula? Let's see. You know what? I haven't found it to be as much. I mean, Mucuna contains high levels of L-DOPA, considering it's a plant, but it's still a plant, right? It's not extracted like tyrosine is. And the strength formula I've found to be pretty super duper for energy. So no, in terms of like instant results, I'd put tyrosine number one, strength number two, Mucuna is number three. Obviously, two and three are better in the sense of being natural, but in terms of sheer effectiveness, you can't really beat high dose of tyrosine for a quick hit of energy. Okay, this is going to be the last question because I've just refreshed and we've only got one more, which means I think we're trailing off almost 3 hours in. Anonymous says, hi, have you tried growing any herbs? I certainly have. Goji berries, that's a good one to start with. They're really easy. Just take a whole goji berry like you would eat, put it in soil, and that will sprout and work pretty easily. So that's a start. There's someone in this country who sells Gynostoma plants, actually. So that's what you're asking about. But yeah, why don't you try a goji berry to start with? That's a really simple one. Okay, awesome. That's been thoroughly enjoyable. Really hope that everyone has enjoyed it as much as I have. I hope that you feel your questions have been answered. Oh, I'll tell you what, we've got one other person on the phone at last. So I'm going to go to that person now. And I know this person well. Hi, it's Heather.
Hi, Owen.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Owen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Hi.
Yeah. You asked earlier about anyone who wants to testify to the easy exhaustion cure. So that was when I put my hand up. I just wanted to say to anybody listening, very briefly, I sort of started off with fibromyalgia that was so severe I was mainly bedridden. Just 2 weeks ago, I began, I've actually got a job, part-time job for the first time in 7 years. So that's, in short, that is my testimony. What Elwin recommends is the real deal, and it's, to use his word, is absolutely awesome, and I can't recommend it enough. In two things in particular, actually, the two rejuvenating things, Rejuvenate Tea, which has kept me on my feet more than anything else, and the Rejuvenating Breathing Practice. Both of those are just amazing, and I'd recommend that to anyone. And also, very briefly, by the way, I've got some kefir grains, so if that chap who wants some kefir grains, I've got them taken over my house. So that was it.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for that, Heather. That's really lovely of you to say. And how lovely of you to contribute some kefir as well. Is there any kind of like not too public way that I can give out here that people could contact you if they want any? Could they go to your Facebook page or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Heather Little Jones. Go to my Facebook page.
Send Heather a message and hey, I'd love some kefir grains, and she will probably happily hook you up by the sound of it. Thank you so much for that, Heather. That's really, really lovely of you. Even though, as I say, I know Heather. Heather has been a long-term client. I didn't ask her to do that. That's really kind. A lot of people, especially when they do have chronic fatigue and ME and kind of severe issues, and they come to me and they say, it's not going to work for me, right? I've got a really severe issue. The answer is I certainly can't guarantee anything, but you know what? Quite possibly, yeah. It can help. I'm just going to go two more questions here. And actually brings up to 100 questions today. Wow, I'm going to give you guys a round of applause. Thank you so much for being so involved in all this. It's been amazing. Got one more. Do you recommend GABA or theanine for anxiety? You know what? Theanine's fine, but I found it too mild to really be worth recommending. GABA is good, but potentially has side effects. I'd recommend taurine if you're talking about amino acids for anxiety more than those two personally. Taurine is just a precursor to GABA or GABA, but it's not as potentially side effecty in my experience, if that's a term. So, that would be my answer to that one. And the last person is just saying a lovely little message saying, thank you, you've been amazing. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you all. You've all been amazing. I've really enjoyed this. I'll do my product plugs just before I go, I guess. The most common things during this call have been, learn the basics of health, right, which would be the Easy Exhaustion Cure, which you can get at Amazon or easyexhaustingcure.com or lionheartherbs.com. If you would like to work with me personally, it's by application only these days, but if you're still on this call almost 3 hours in, I know that you're a committed person, so I'm sure you'd be just great. Just go to elwynrobinson.com/resultscoaching and have a look at that and see if that would be of interest to you. And other than that, it's just been a pleasure, and we'll do this again next month, definitely. It's been really fun. The recording will be available within the next few days. I've got a lot of these calls coming up over the next few days, and I'm getting ready to go to America, so not making any promises, but it'll be up pretty soon. And thank you so much for all of you guys' participation. Here's to your health mastery, right, which is what I'm really committed to. As you notice, a lot of answers here. Listen, I want to give you a quick fix thing, right, so that you trust that it is possible to get better, because that's really important. But I also do want to emphasize this message that most quick fixes are temporary, right? And what we really want to do is we want to master our health. And if that's of interest to you, again, go to elwynrobinson.com, sign up for the if you're not already, go to elwynrobinson.com and sign up for the free videos, right? There's like 3 hours of free training on this subject, I think pretty much maybe 2 hours, 40, something like that, available to you already. If you're super committed and want to work with me personally, go to elwynrobinson.com/resultscoaching. Great to speak to you all, and thank you all for your participation, and see you next month.